a single email unearthed from the sprawling Jeffrey Epstein document dumps has sent shockwaves through anyone paying attention. In 2003, investigative journalist Edward J. Epstein, no relation to Jeffrey, but a longtime chronicler of espionage, cover-ups, and institutional deceit, Edward Epstein reached out directly to Ghislaine Maxwell with the casual yet loaded invitation, "Any interest in joining a proposed shadow commission on 9/11? This wasn't some random outreach. The former Harvard professor was floating the idea of an alternative inquiry into the attacks, one presumably free from the constraints and compromises that plagued the official 9/11 commission.
What diminishes the idea of a conspiracy in my mind is not that one can't think of a good reason why one couldn't put a conspiracy together, but it's the passage of time. One has to take that into their reckoning as we covered, you know, decade after decade."
Maxwell's inclusion on the invite list speaks volumes about the overlapping circles of power, influence, and potential blackmail that Epstein's operation allegedly cultivated. Why would a man known for dissecting government whitewashes think the partner of Jeffrey Epstein belonged on such a panel? The official 9/11 Commission report, released in 2004, has long been accused of being a carefully curated exercise in selective truth rather than unvarnished accountability. Glaring omissions like the collapse of the World Trade Center Building 7, ignored Saudi connections to the hijackers, eyewitness accounts of bombs by Barry Jennings in World Trade Center 7.
Now, Barry Jennings, you're on the 8th floor. You work for the city housing department. Explain to me the moment of impact.
Well, me and Mr. Hess, the corporation counsel, were on the 23rd floor. I told him we got to get out of here. We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor. And I turned to Hesh, I said, "This is it. We're dead. We're not going to make it out of here."
Entering Building 7 together before the strike on the South Tower at 9:03 a.m., Jennings and Hess were surprised to discover that the office had been abandoned. Receiving a phone call from his superior, Jennings was warned to leave the building immediately. Descending via the stairwell, Jennings and Hess reached the 6th floor before an explosion blew them back up to the 8th floor, trapping them inside the building. After 7 years of investigation, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, determined that the building had not come down due to explosives or controlled demolition, as many alleged, or due to structural damage from the collapse of the Twin Towers, an explosion in the building's fuel oil systems, or any of the other suggestions that had been put forward and retracted by NIST over the course of its investigation. Instead, NIST spokesman Shyam Sunder insisted that the building had collapsed due to ordinary office fires.
"For the first time, we have shown that fire can induce a progressive collapse."
The commission's own co-chairman, Lee H. Hamilton, later admitted significant limitations, including restricted access to classified materials and pressure to produce a unified narrative that avoided rocking too many boats in Washington, D.C.
"If it's an act of war and it's hiding things, which everyone on your commission knew that the Pentagon was changing their stories, lying to you, and it's a cover-up of an act of war, and under Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, it's treason. So unless we get to the very bottom of it, then we're still talking treasonous exposition."
"This is a longer conversation. I'm not sure you ever get to the bottom of it."
"We have to, or we can't save our country, sir."
"I don't think, well, if that's the condition upon which we're going to be saving our country, because the problem is it's a 30-year-old conspiracy."
The report's focus on systematic issues conveniently sidestepped naming names like Larry Silverstein.
"I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such a terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse."
And the rapid removal of debris before thorough forensic analysis could take place.
"I'm also told that military heavy equipment will be brought in, bulldozers, cranes, things of that nature, to go in there as soon as they possibly can."
What ties these threads together is the persistent whisper that 9/11...
"One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com, and thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah!
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday evening. Hope everybody's doing well. We got a ton of stories to cover. Of course, last night was the Super Bowl, or the Superb Owl, as those of us in the know like to call it. Yeah, actually, this whole weekend has been a series of just crazily satanic ceremonies. I didn't even grab the video, guys. We can grab the video from the opening of the Winter Games, or I'm not even sure, was it the Winter Olympics or the Winter Games, but was it the Winter Olympics? Because I thought it was at first, then I kept seeing him called something else. We were like, no, these are the Winter Games. And it's like, what? Aren't they called the Olympics? But the opening ceremony was just straight up a giant upside down five-pointed star and just like flames. And it just looked like hell. It just looked straight up like hell. And of course, this is the follow-up to the last Olympic opening ceremony, which featured the transgender Last Supper desecration. So I just wonder, like, the average person, it used to be that you'd go find Jay Dyer or Alex Jones a day after a big event like this, the Olympics, the Oscars, whatever it is, and they would have to dissect the symbolism. And you could either be interested in that and want to know about it, or you could think it's all kookery and who cares if they're doing weird stuff. It's cool, it's hip, whatever. But like nowadays, is anybody questioning this? Anybody, any of the normies there looking at the giant inflamed pentagram rising up from hell and go, this is kind of weird. Is this about the Olympics still? Are we still doing something about sports, or is this just strictly an occult ceremony now? They dropped all pretense and are just like, welcome to the 251st occult induction ceremony. Prepare to have your mind wiped. I don't know. It's all very in your face at this point. So we'll get into that. We'll get into the reaction of it. And I'm gonna do my best as a general in this information war. I'm going to do my best to dissect the propaganda that we are confronted with and try to explain what makes it so incredibly effective. Because there's a problem on the right that people like to act like the propaganda doesn't work, or that it's ineffective. Now, there may be some nuance here. I'm willing to admit that, maybe these things are less popular than they seem. But I like to keep my finger on the pulse of the normie world. I like to hang out with people that aren't political. I like to ask family members that aren't, necessarily overly political what they think about it. And I like to go into Facebook and Reddit and all the places where the normies hang out and see what they're saying. And I hate to break this to everybody. I hate to be the bearer of bad news here. But in my opinion, from my observations, the vast majority of the average normie football watching public both A, thought the halftime performance was amazing and uplifting and very American. They actually thought that. And they think that, things like the blue sticker ad, the anti-Semitism ad, propaganda was deeply moving and very powerful and a good message. And you cannot like either of these things. You can recognize the very, very deep-seated subversion trying to tear down the American culture from the inside that both of these things represent. I'm right there with you. I understand as well as anybody else, but I can also acknowledge the effectiveness of powerful and well-made propaganda. And if you just want to act like it wasn't good propaganda because you disagree with the message, then you're tactically or strategically not a benefit to the information war. See, I'm the type of person that goes, hey, the enemy just launched a major attack, major offensive, and they succeeded in a couple key points. And in order to combat that and confront that and to wage a successful defense against that, you have to acknowledge it and you have to, you know, understand what it was that made their attack so successful so you can counter it next time. But a lot of people out there want to go, that attack didn't even matter. It didn't even count. Who cares? It's like, that's not the way you win the war, is it? By lying about the effectiveness of the enemy's attacks. Because look, if you're waging the info war along with us, if there's one thing you have to acknowledge, it's that the enemy is really, 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 really good at propaganda. It's okay. It doesn't mean he's right. It doesn't mean that they're better than us in any way. It's just, you know, some things they don't do well. Managing a country, like actually convincing people with their arguments and logic. But when it comes to propaganda, when it comes to shaping the minds of people, that's what they're best at. And it turns out if you're good at that, it kind of nothing else really matters. If you're good at that part of it, you can be terrible at everything else and people will still love you and vote for you. And so we have to learn that message because think about this. Their propaganda, the methods they use and the techniques that they use are so good. They're so powerful that they can convince the entire nation of the most ridiculous lies you've ever heard. But undercutting just basic human observation like men are men and women are women. They can get the entire country to go along with opposing that because of the power of their propaganda. That's how good their propaganda is when it's based entirely on self-evidently false lies. Now imagine if you could use some of those same tactics to tell the truth. Like we're already sort of fighting an even fight because while they have all of the sophisticated methods, they have all of the networks and all of the production companies and all of the ability to package their argument, we're still winning because despite not having any of that, we do have the truth on our side. Now imagine if we use some of the tactics that they use, because the tactics themselves are not dishonest necessarily, right? It's almost a technology. It's like a psychic technology that they're wielding to convince people of certain things. And I was saying this on X, people are getting really mad at me because I don't understand it. People cannot parse. They cannot like separate like objective truth from their own subjective view. Like, okay, yes, you, as a person who's opposed to the political messages being sent, did not enjoy the halftime show. I wouldn't expect you to. But you should have the humility and the intelligence to be able to say, if I was a normie, this would have been extremely convincing. This would have been extremely compelling. This would have been whatever, whatever. Doesn't mean that you liked it. It means you have the ability to understand it. I think it was Aristotle. Whatever. I'm not going to start quoting philosophers at you. But basically, the mark of an intelligent man is to be able to consider opinions he disagrees with. And that's all that we're doing here. And I had people on X respond to me, we should be making ads with like white people covered in dirt with like voiceovers about how bad the globalists are and just like want to make people cry. And it's like, well, yeah, actually, yes. Yes, you should. Right. No, that's exactly what it's about. Whether you like it or not, people make decisions on the basis of emotion. You can't argue against somebody's emotion. You just look like a bad person to them. And so again, it's not dishonest because white people really are being killed. We really are being genocided. Our countries really are collapsing into chaos and misery. There really are a million little girls in the UK that were systematically raped by gangs. Yeah, they're suffering. Nobody cares because it's never been presented in a Hollywood movie yet. It was Aristotle. Look at that. It is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. Thank you, Aristotle. Very smart. You know, he taught Alexander the Great. So, yeah, we need to emotionally appeal to people because that's the level that the argument is being made on. Again, it's not about dishonesty or you know, manipulation of people. It's just about understanding what is a good story and what isn't. What is a compelling narrative and what isn't. You're going to convince a hell of a lot more people if you could show a 5-minute, you know, narrative depicting what it was like for a girl to be seduced by Jeffrey Epstein, right? If you could show the narrative of a little girl thinking that she'd just gotten Willy Wonka's golden ticket, you know, she'd just been plucked from obscurity by a billionaire who had connections in whatever industry she wanted to enter into. Now, this is what they do. Jeffrey Epstein would take some of his ill-gotten, you know, corrupt spy money. He'd funnel $100,000 to some musical camp, Interlochen, I think it was called. And then he goes there and walks around, gets a tour of the facilities from the people who he gave money to, when really what he was doing was shopping for girls. And so he's going around looking at all of the preteen girls there who all got some sort of scholarship or are proficient in their instruments and have dreams of becoming professional musicians. And he used his access through donating money to get to these camps to go interview the girls. So you can imagine being a little girl who maybe comes from a broken household, a, you know, impoverished, maybe you get a lucky break and because of your skill and talent and dedication to the instrument that you're learning, you get to go to this camp. And then here comes this billionaire, this globe-trotting billionaire who could, with a wave of his hand, put you on a path towards coming first chair at the New York Philharmonic. He has that power and he's telling you he's going to do this to you. And you can watch the process as that little girl and all of her bright dreams are slowly ground down until she's like a husk of a person, having been abused and used and forced to participate in the most despicable acts, but always dangling, you know, the fortune and, you know, future success in front of her. Like, yeah, a short film depicting that is going to be a hell of a lot more compelling and convincing than a flowchart with a picture of Jeffrey Epstein's head and a picture of Bill Clinton's head and a line in between, right? I mean, so much of what the right wing does, like we argue as if the people that we're arguing with are like us, are willing to look at facts and willing to actually determine what the reality is. We'll actually understand the implications that are being drawn. That's fine for us. That's fine for intelligent, informed, thoughtful, open-minded people. The vast majority of people that we have to win over, it's not an option. Okay, you can't just impose things on people in this world, not in the way it's set up now, not if you're us, right? We got to convince people. We got to reach out to these people. Again, I had other people going, it's sports ball, dude, who cares? It's like, well, half the country cares about football more than they care about anything else. We have to reach these people. We have to reach out to these people. We have to connect with these people somehow. So I don't know, you know, it's like, yeah, I also am not a big – I think it's like unbelievably creepy. I was saying this the other day because last time I was traveling, I was just walking around the airport and every single guy I saw looking at their phone was watching sports stuff. Every single one. Every single adult male in the airport. And it wasn't even like football season or baseball season. They're watching hockey clips. They're watching commentary on soccer. Like they don't care. They just want – something to watch, and sports is all they care about. That's such a huge portion of our population. It's like, I think it was the Jeffrey Epstein release that people were showing or something very recently where it was, you know, everybody on X is freaking out about this thing. And then people are showing the graphs of Google interest, Google searches over time. And it's like, whatever we're talking about, Jeffrey Epstein, and, you know, the line's going along and sort of spikes a little bit and keeps going. Meanwhile, the Seahawks had just won the latest playoff game. And so the interest for Seahawks is just straight up. And it's like way higher than anything having to do with Jeffrey Epstein or anything else. And you can condemn that. I condemn that. I think that's a sign of our wasted potential and our, you know, individual failures. to actually prioritize what's actually important rather than a stupid ball game for children. But it doesn't matter what I think about it. That's the fact. That's the reality. That's what people are interested in. That's where their attention goes. That's where they put in their time and money and effort. So that's fine. It's just reality. So now we have to contend with that. Now you have to package your arguments in ways that they understand and they can break through the bread and circus firewall that they have distracting them constantly. So again, I was saying one way to get into that conversation during the Super Bowl, say something like, you know, I used to love the Patriots, but man, ever since I learned about their owner, I can't support him anymore. And of course, whoever you're there is with can be like, what? What about the owner? What about him? You can be like, oh, well, you don't know he's in the Epstein files? Epstein files, what's that? Or, well, I bet a lot of the owners are in the Epstein files. What's wrong with him? Well, okay. Isn't that concerning? Isn't that interesting? What's the problem with being in the Epstein files? I don't know. What's the problem? Oh, well, you don't know about South Florida massage parlor? You don't know about the Jewish supremacy that we're dealing with? And this is another word that I think, like, again, our enemies have actually set the table for us. Our enemies have done a lot of the work already in getting the average American, like basically forming their thought pathways in certain directions that we can take advantage of. Yeah, I had somebody on X going, oh, totally. This is what a win is spurging out of your families while everybody's trying to watch football or whatever. Like, look, guys, the left has spent the last 10 years indoctrinating people into the understanding of certain concepts like unearned privilege, right? Okay, well, then that's the language that you need to use when you're talking to them. When they have spent the last 10 years demonizing concepts of white supremacy, then you should ask the people who think that that's all real, who think that white supremacy is a real threat, well, do you care about Jewish supremacy? And if not, why? Because if they're consistent, they'll say, of course I oppose that. Just like I oppose white supremacy, I oppose all supremacy. And if they say, no, that's actually fine, then we got a whole other issue to talk about. But talking about this stuff in the language that these people understand that they talk to each other in is extremely effective. And you can take the mindset that's been actually physically implanted in their head by the endless propaganda and social programming that they aren't even aware that they've been subjected to. But you can utilize that. You can weaponize that. You can, in fact, use that. And you can go, okay, you seem like you really genuinely don't like racial superiority. Have you read the Epstein files? Do you understand where the real racial superiority is coming from and the damage that it's doing? And do you want to oppose that now, too? And that works. It can work. I had people again on X talking to me going, yep, this is exactly how I did it. Totally red-pilled, you know, my family, got in this big conversation, wider conversation about psychological operations and the way propaganda is being used. And I mean, it's up to y'all. You got to have these conversations. You got to talk about this. I had other, because I was also saying that, you know, I think that the average American normie really enjoyed the halftime show. They liked it. They thought it was uplifting and powerful and even wholesome to a certain degree. I'll read you the articles about it. And again, you can not like that. You can hate me for saying it. But no one's going to be convinced by you just like telling them they don't like a thing that they actually do like. Anyway, we'll get into all of this and I'll break down exactly how some of the psychological operations are being utilized right now. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. About 20 minutes. Derek's had his hand over that button, waiting for me to pitch to it. I was like, I'll go to it right off the bat. Here it is, your daily dispatch for Monday, the 9th of February, 2026. Bad Bunny's Super Bowl halftime show was expected to provoke. Did it? Asks the Washington Post. They say, no, it was actually really good. The show nodded to Puerto Rican injustices and highlighted some hip thrusts. But despite preemptive outrage from Trump, the superstar evoked wholesome values that meshed with the sentiment of the big game. Now, again, just so how provocative was it on a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being Justin Timberlake exposing Janet Jackson's breast in the wardrobe malfunction that prompted a 2004 federal investigation? They put it at a 3, basically about as non-controversial as you can get. But this, of course, is a strategy and a technique that they're using. There was nothing on the face of it. I mean, there were some things that were objectionable. I object to some of the people doing the stuff that they were doing. But to be honest, here's my take on it. You know what pissed me off more than the Bad Bunny halftime show was the fact that immediately after the coin flip, the first commercial break, right after the Pledge of Allegiance or the Star Spangled Banner, the first thing, I'm sitting there with my kids and all of our cousins and everybody's watching it because, yeah, I'm an American. I try to continue to participate in cultural moments, even when I know they're going to be poison to people's brains. But the first thing that it goes to immediately as the game starts is a commercial break for a Scream movie where you've got some sort of serial killer in a mask, like trying to stab people. And it's like, really, really, the first commercial break, the instant that the game begins is just like traumatizing, violent images. That, to me, is probably more psychologically damaging than seeing people twerk, to be honest with you. So, like, I didn't think this was what Bad Bunny did was outrageous, but it deliberately avoided any overwhelming, provocative stuff because people wanted to look at it and go, oh, that wasn't so bad. Oh, they didn't hit you, you know, bang us over the head with it. But the whole thing was infused with subtle messages, the entire point of which is white America is being conquered by non-whites, and that's a cause for celebration. And in fact, the vicious hatred they have towards us, Native American people, they classify as love so they can feel good while they commit genocide. And of course, these people who write these articles are not blind to the implications. They're covering them up, and they are deliberately downplaying them, which they never do in any other situation. Somehow they're able to hear the most, you know, vague dog whistles, you know, about white supremacy or whatever else. But when it's just obviously a giant, you know, slap in the face to white America as they sing in Spanish and have a whole, you know, halftime show in a language the vast majority of Americans don't understand, that suddenly the subtleties of the messaging goes right by them there. Completely ridiculous. But again, it's about understanding the power and the techniques and the methods by which they use propaganda so that we can A, counteract their propaganda, and B, create propaganda of our own that is even better because we have the truth on our side and love, actual love, not whatever the crap this is. Meanwhile, Epstein accomplice Ghislaine Maxwell seeks Trump clemency before testimony. Jeffrey Epstein's accomplice Ghislaine Maxwell refused on Monday to answer questions from a congressional panel, but said she was prepared to speak if granted clemency by U.S. President Donald Trump, which they've been floating for a while and would be the dumbest thing ever, so it's probably going to happen. Meanwhile, Massey calls on Lutnick to resign over Epstein ties. Representative Thomas Massey on Sunday pushed for Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick to resign after his name appeared in files linked to the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Maxwell invokes the Fifth Amendment, a closed-door virtual oversight house deposition. And finally, TPUSA's All-American Halftime Show becomes highest-watched U.S. YouTube live stream with 6.17 million concurrent viewers. So that's pretty good. Again, not to, you know, that's huge. That's successful, and I like that TPUSA did that. But this is not a recipe for success. We cannot create alternative, parallel, you know, American traditions because our American traditions have been hijacked. We have to reclaim those.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts that have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. That's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexshowstore.com today and one click become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything gets a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum that's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind-the-scenes attacking them. They're big boys, too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But, I mean, these are Patriots. Just go to the site, upper right-hand corner, VIP Club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR, PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We do sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country. $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you spent X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP, VIP, VIP. And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. And it's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the info war. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, debating whether to keep talking about the Super Bowl or to move on to some of the crazy Epstein stuff that's been revealed. And I mean, it is wild. It is wild what has been revealed. Now, today, you know, as of last night, looked like it was going to be a crazy day. So far, nothing insane has popped off yet. But Benjamin Netanyahu is going to be in America on Wednesday to talk about bombing Iran again, going in whole hog this time, probably. We can't just, you know, do one of these simple missions. It's going to have to be a full-fledged thing. But as of last night, you had all these things combining on Monday. Beginning Monday, the DOJ will allow all members of the U.S. Congress, House, and Senate to view the unredacted versions of the Epstein files. So I don't know when they're going to get out of the skiff from that, but I look forward to Thomas Massey and others telling us some interesting developments there. Alexander Dugin, you know, famous on Putin's brain, but he's just famous Russian intellectual, said Monday could easily become the most volatile day in the history of the modern world. It's kind of troubling prediction. American B-2 bombers capable of carrying nuclear weapons have landed at UDED Air Force base in Qatar in conjunction with tensions with Iran. So we now have nuclear capable bombers in the Middle East, as well as half of the total number of C-17s that we have, I think it is. Basically, our entire Air Force is now on the way or stationed in the Middle East. And then on Monday, today, at approximately 6 a.m., the Capitol Police announced they would be working on with our federal partners on a routine training exercise on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol. Please do not be alarmed if you see emergency vehicles and low-flying helicopters. Okay, so I posted that last night going, we should be ready for today. So far, nothing has popped off, but I think most people that are paying attention are very concerned about what happens next with Iran, as Wednesday is a deadline, and it was right around one of these exact deadlines that the Fordow bombing operation was kicked off in the 12-day war, was, you know, happened right before the deadline that Trump set it on Iran back in June. So everything is still very much in motion, and it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if nuclear war was the, you know, go-to solution for all these people asking questions about Epstein these days. But I want to do a little patting ourselves on the back and a little flashback history. Yeah, U.S. urges American ships to stay as far as possible from Iranian waters. U.S. Maritime Administration advisory comes after a first round of indirect talks between Washington and Tehran. Again, we can get back into that, but so far nothing's happened, but we'll keep an eye on things, so stay tuned here. And actually, you know what? I'm going to take a moment before we get into the Epstein stuff. I'm going to continue on the football stuff, the halftime show stuff, because again, I think people are misapprehending what actually happened last night at the Super Bowl. I actually think this Washington Post article, as you know, deliberately ignorant as it is to the reality of what was being portrayed during halftime, probably a pretty good read for how most Americans are thinking about it. If you were looking for political commentary, the closest that you got was the moment at the end when Bad Bunny, this artist, said, "God bless America" in English, and then proceeded to name all the countries in the Western Hemisphere in geographical order from south to north. I thought it was funny. I saw other people going, yeah, this was all a subtle psychological operation to, you know, reaffirm the Don Roe doctrine to try to frame all of the Western Hemisphere as sort of one political body, because that goes into the globalist plan to have basically 10 countries of all these conglomerate countries, which it does look like they're moving towards, with apparently Trump's Board of Peace being set up to replace the UN, like we told you so long ago. So this was the actual halftime show here. And again, people were going, nobody in the stadium liked it. It's like nobody in the stadium could see it. They're in a giant corn maze. Nobody in the stadium could tell what the hell was going on. No, this was not for the people in the stadium. This was for the people, the billion people watching on TV, much bigger audience than the 100,000 in the stadium. Again, this is not, it shouldn't be that difficult to understand to me. Weeks before he set on stage, Bad Bunny's halftime performance had already become a media event. There was rapturous anticipation from his millions of fans worldwide, and there was boycotting and indignation from right-wing figures who objected to hearing Spanish during the Super Bowl or erroneously claimed that Puerto Ricans are not Americans. Well, they're not, really. Puerto Rico is just a landmass that we militarily occupied to a certain degree. You know, half of the people in Puerto Rico are on welfare. I mean, Puerto Rico is basically, it's basically like our, you know, it's like incompetent son that we just have to take care of, even though he's an adult. That's kind of the family, setup here. But again, these people, like the people at the Washington Post, are the type of people who will, you know, find a dog whistle like a needle in a haystack if they see something that they can in any way vaguely portray as secretly alerting people to the hidden white supremacist agenda, then they'll, you know, make it out as if it's an absolute fact that they've discovered some secret symbolism that they're revealing to everybody else. And yet having an entirely Spanish halftime show with a bunch of Spanish people celebrating their own countries, their own traditions in obvious, you know, replacement of American traditions, is not that hard to see what's going on here. It's not that difficult to apprehend the underlying sentiment being expressed here. But the people of the Washington Post apparently totally missed that and were taking everything at just strictly face value and what it was ostensibly presented as, which is just funny because they don't do that for anybody else. And it's obvious to anybody what the real implications of all of this is. The conservative youth juggernaut Turning Point USA streamed its own alternative concert from a soundstage featuring Kid Rock, Brantley Gilbert, and two other mid-tier country artists. Its hosts slamming Bad Bunny for politically charged statements amid and recent Super Bowl guests for ostensibly risque acts. The superstar himself downplayed concerns, saying at an Apple press event on Tuesday that his performance would be a huge party. They don't even have to learn Spanish, he told radio host from the stage. It's better if they learn to dance. And, of course, he began his speech at the Grammys by saying ice out. And people were worried that this would be some sort of overt, you know, anti-ice extravaganza, which, no, these people are more sophisticated than that. They're not going to do something that's going to fly in the face of the average American. They're going to do something that the average American can say, you know, I like that. You know, they had a marriage in it. There were kids running around. Like, that was so sweet, so wholesome what they were doing there. Of course, completely missing the underlying menace of all of it, which is clearly that you're being replaced and we're celebrating that and calling our murder of you love so that we can get away with it. It's just that should be obvious. But then came the discussion that we should have had a long time ago, and that is actually one aspect of a wider conversation that we've been having for a while, which is, of course, the substantial differences between seemingly very closely aligned countries. You talk about Mexico, you talk about America, not a huge gulf of, you know, culture here. Same with, you know, America and Europe. I mean, if you're even just using, you know, Roman letters, you're more similar to us than anybody else. When you talk about Mexico, you're talking about a former colony of a European state. You're talking about a people that had a revolution to create a republic. You're talking about a Christian nation. They're Catholic, we're Protestant, but you know, how big is that difference? I mean, a lot of similarities between Mexico and America. You can find a lot of countries that are way more different than each other than America and Mexico. But even in the subtle differences, even in just the little changes, and again, I mean, you go to Mexico, it's a completely different place from America, but at least you can vaguely read the language. We have a lot of Mexican influence here in America, so we're used to some of it. I'm saying if you've ever traveled around, I remember I traveled around Europe for a while. After high school, I did a gap year, saved up money, and stayed in Europe, hopping trains for a while. So I thought, I was like, oh, I'd do this. This is great. This is so easy. I can go to any country and feel at home. But then the next time I went to Europe, I went to Turkey first. And the fact that the language is scribbles and not English or Latin letters, it's like, oh my God, where I have no idea how to do anything, where I am, like the actual culture shock of being like, ooh, this is not the place I'm used to. Mexico, it ain't that different. The values are fairly similar. The religion is basically the same. It's not that different. But those minor differences are the difference between living in a third world hellhole run by drugs and gangs and murderers, or America, which for all of its history was an exemplar of no corruption, very little corruption at least. Obviously, there's always corruption in power structures, but the average American go to the DMV, get their license, and get out and not have to slap a 20 in anybody's hand for the convenience, right? You can start a business and you just file the business and the bureaucracy says, thank you for filing. Here's your, you know, certificate and it's done. There's not a hand you have to grease. You don't have to know anybody. These seemingly minor differences between Mexico and America are the difference between heaven and hell. They're the difference between, you know, it's kind of like, well, there's not a lot of physical difference between rape and sex, right? But one is amazing and beautiful and God-given, and the other is probably the worst crime you can commit. But they're like almost the same. There's just like a little bit of a difference. That's kind of the difference between Mexican culture and American culture. Seemingly, on the surface, not too much separates it.
But Mexico is a place of horrors. It is a land of misery in a lot of cases. And I've got some videos to illustrate this. Hell, let's go to, I got a couple actually. This one actually relates back to something we were talking about a few days ago. Clip 11, when I was talking about the traffic blocks, the roadblocks that people are doing in Minnesota and saying they're not actually effective. They're not going to stop anybody who's ICE from going where they want to go. But then you have this video out of Mexico. This is clip 11, right? So here's this guy, you know, driving down the road. Let's go ahead and bring up the audio a little bit. This is in a Spanish-speaking country. I believe it is Mexico, but I can't quite tell. But you can see the street lines are in Spanish. He's going when suddenly the car in front of him slams on its brakes. Guns get out, and he has to floor it, runs one of them over, and then makes his escape. But that quick thinking, that lack of trust, saved his life. Right? An American, if you see a car pull over in front of you, you slow down, you put your hazards on. Oh, gee, what's going on here? And you know, before you're ready to react, they have a gun up to your head and they're stealing your car and your kid along with it, perhaps, and there's nothing you can do. So just be ready for the world that they're creating. Be ready for a world of bad bunnies and Puerto Ricans and Mexicans. And just know that in Puerto Rico and Mexico, if a car stops in front of you on a on-ramp to the freeway, it's not because they want to tell you your headlight is out. It's not because they are having an emergency that they might need your help with. It's because they're about to rob and perhaps kill you because they can. And you have to be on your guard constantly and possibly willing to kill somebody like we just saw right there, running them over with your car, or else you die. So this would be one of the primary differences between Mexico and America. But it's just one of many. And I'm thinking maybe clip number 19 here. This is from Mexico City. And we go ahead and roll it as B-roll. We don't need the audio. It's a car driving through Mexico City. And they have big, big roundabouts in Mexico City. And as you drive around this one, you see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of faces, pictures, portraits. These are all the people who have disappeared in Mexico City. These are all of the people who at one point or another either pissed off the government or disobeyed the cartel and who were disappeared and are either dead or working as slaves somewhere or being tortured, or perhaps they were beheaded and are hanging from a light pole. But I like living in a country where people don't just go missing by the dozens on a regular basis and the government says, well, nothing we can do about it, sorry. But that's the world with that is America with our corruption meter turned up like two ticks. You go two ticks up from where we are now and you're in total cartel chaos misery world where you're getting robbed on the street by gangs wielding automatic guns while you're not allowed to own a gun, where the cartel can disappear entire families and the government refuses to even investigate. And by even hanging a sign with their picture saying missing could then put you on the hit list of the cartel. How do you deal with a world like that? Well, you make gangs, you join a gang yourself, you create a clan because you have to go out and get your own justice because the systems of justice that were established to hold these people to account are in the hands of the people doing it to you. So I don't want to live in that world, and that's the world they were celebrating at the halftime show yesterday. The third world and their mindset and the criminality and the just total lack of functional systems of governance, that's what they're bringing along with them. It's not good. It's actually horrifying. It's actually extremely, extremely dangerous. And then came the discussion of sexuality in the Hispanic world. And obviously we don't like stereotyping anybody here, but we can look at stats, but we can investigate the stats and perhaps come to some frankly uncomfortable conclusions from them. like this. Ann Coulter has written extensively on this. Coulter's discussions on this topic span multiple chapters. She argues the Latin American, quote, peasant cultures normalize behaviors like child rape, incest, and gang rape, and she supports this with the following. One, North Carolinians for Immigration Reform and Enforcement reports from NC Fire, so that's North Carolina for Immigration Reform and Enforcement. They track child sex offenses, including rape, molestation, and statutory rape, allegedly committed by illegal aliens in North Carolina. In a 8.5-month period from 2013 to 2014, NC Fire reported 1,500 such cases, averaging about 176 per month. Examples included 350 in April 2014. She notes that more than 90% of the perpetrators in these reports are Hispanic. This appears in the book and her columns, e.g. Trump opponents take nuanced view of child rape and immigration privileges. The CDC shows that Hispanics are 7 times more likely than whites to give birth between the ages of 10 and 14. She uses this as a proxy for child rape or statutory rape, arguing it reflects cultural tolerances for sexual activity with minors in Latin American communities. Less than 2% of U.S. births are to girls 10 to 14 overall, but the rate is significantly higher among Hispanics. CDC vital statistics or related reports on adolescent fertility show the same thing. Nobody knows this, but there was a study done on the prevalence of child sexual abuse among non-white Hispanics. It's unbelievably gross. The total number of women reporting that they were abused as children, 77%. 78, actually, if we're rounding. Rubbed against by a perpetrator was 65% of them, 66% of them. Fondled by any part of the victim's body was 60%. Touched the victim's private parts, 43%. Perpetrator showed his or her genitals, 40%. Was asked to touch the perpetrator's private parts, 23%. Shown pornographic material by a perpetrator, 14%. But the total is 77% of non-white Hispanics interviewed claimed they'd been a victim, women had claimed they'd been a victim of child sex abuse as children. Number of different sexual abuse types suffered. 18% said they only suffered one of those, so they were either fondled or they were shown pornography or they were whatever else. But 40% experienced 2 or 3 of these things. 41%, so again nearly half, say that they experienced 4 or more of these. They were fondled, they were rubbed, they were showed pornography, they were whatever else. And this is fairly normalized. I mean, when 80%, 78% of your female population is saying this happened to them, it's not exactly an outlier case. Number of types of contact without physical contact was only 4%, but physical contact and both physical and non-physical contact makes up the vast majority of those. The number of different perpetrators, only 50% had one person do it to them, 30% had 2 or more, with 20% saying not stated. So again, while you may look at Mexico and see, you know, basically Americans just with kind of spicier food and more Catholic vibe, the reality is that the American culture does not stand for the things that the Hispanic Latin American culture stands for. And whether that's abuse of children or criminal gangs, the tolerance that they show is why they are in the condition that they're in and why they're all fleeing their countries and coming here. But if we don't stop that process and if we don't reassert the superiority of our culture and the importance of maintaining our hard-nosed anti-corruption position in America, we're just going to become like them. And there's absolutely nothing stopping us from becoming South Africa or Mexico or Zimbabwe for that matter. We just have to assert. And in order to assert, we have to believe in the superiority of our culture. And for anybody paying attention, it should be self-apparent and obvious when you have things like just what I've showed you, just 2 examples literally from the last 24 hours of people attempting to be robbed and killed on the street or, and we, you know, I was talking about this with the good doctor, when I was hosting the Alex Jones Show. And he was saying the same thing, that you go right across the Rio Grande. I mean, you got Americana on one side, baseball fields and picnics and snow cones. And on the other side, you've got decapitated bodies hanging from light poles. And there's no big difference between these two places except who occupies the positions of power. So I just want everybody to be aware that when you're talking about all of the good things that come from Latin American culture, which there are plenty, they are very family-oriented. They're very, I mean, happy people celebrate. I mean, the Mexicans that live on my street are having a party every weekend. Little kids dancing, all wearing their tiny suits. It's adorable. It's great. You love it. But along with that good stuff comes absolutely horrible stuff, beyond horrible stuff, unimaginably horrible stuff for us Americans. So you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? And is it possible, is it at all feasible that we could both appreciate and enjoy the positive aspects of Latin American culture while not becoming a Latin America itself and not allowing tens of millions of foreigners from these countries come over here and supplant our traditions with their own? I think it's possible if we actually try really hard. We just can't celebrate what they celebrate and actually believe their lies that somehow deliberately destroying the demographic makeup of a country is love. It's love because a bunch of idiots get to twerk in public now. Great. How wonderful. So we'll continue to we'll move on to what's going on with Jeffrey Epstein and some of the more insane revelations from some of the recent emails, which do include what look an awful lot like admissions of cannibalism and more code words and the downfall of the UK government is happening as a result of all of this. And we'll get all of that into all of that in the second hour. But I do want to tell you right now, we've got a very big bundle deal going on at thealexjonesstore.com. It's called the Gut and Brain Bundle. Repair the gut, power the brain. And if you group these items together, you get 50% off them all totally combined. So bovine colostrum plus, methylene blue tincture, methylene red tincture, all of them together, you'd be paying over $200. You can get them all today for just $99.99. That's over 50% off. Just go to thealexjonesstore.com, search Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle. That's the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle, Colostrum Plus, Ultramethylene Red, Ultramethylene Blue, all for 50% off when you buy them together. Go there today, thealexjonesstore.com. You're not going to get a bigger sale on Ultramethylene Blue than 50% off. That is massive. Go today.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles. Because you understand the broader course of history. How these things tend to operate. How assassinations tend to occur. How cover-ups tend to happen. How false flags occur. How staged events occur. How also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Oh! mambo pa' que mi gata prenda los motores. Súmale mambo pa' que mi gata prenda los motores. Súmale mambo pa' que mi gata prenda los motores. Que se preparen, que lo que viene pa' que le den.
Duro.
Mami, yo sé que tú no te me vas a quitar.
Duro.
Lo que me gusta es que tú te dejas llevar.
Duro.
Solo porque if you're thinking that you may have heard this song before, it's because they use the same beat for every song. It's the same beat for every song. Do they ever get tired of it? My God. It's like, this is the hip-hop version, so you're going to have some sort of drum beat going. Replace the drum beat with accordion music, and you have every other Mexican song ever created. No offense or anything. It was actually a meme for a while. I used to only ever listen to the Hispanic radio stations because they are upbeat. I do actually like the polka style Tejano music more than a lot of what's played on the internet or on the radio these days. Rather, let's stick with the whole white replacement thing, shall we? Let's go with that for a little longer. Let's go to clip number 14 here. This is American Representative Gene Wu, Democrat, going mask off and just saying what we know they've been thinking the entire time. Representative Gene Wu, everybody.
I always tell people the day the Latino, African-American, Asian, and other communities realize that they share the same oppressor is the day we start winning. Because we are the majority in this country now. We have the ability to take over this country and to do what is needed for everyone and to make things fair. But the problem is our communities are divided. They're completely divided. And I talk about.
Okay, so do we need to read between the lines on this? He's like, you know, African-Americans, Latinos, obviously he's including himself in that, Asians. Just say non-white. Just say here. Let me just be easier for you, Gene, Mr. Wu. Just say white people need to be killed by non-white people. Just say all non-white people need to unify to oppose white people. Because that's frankly what it's going to take, you guys. I mean, I know white people are only like 7% of the world's population. I know that we are not the majority by any stretch of the imagination on a global scale. And that's how these people are operating. So the whole idea that white people alone need to be teamed up against by all the other races, like, I guess that's kind of true. Gee, kind of embarrassing for you guys, but good luck with all that. The problem is white people refuse to see themselves as participants in this game of death. And so they're not participating or playing. We're still winning to a certain degree. But like, man, could you imagine white people had even a percentage of the ethnic, you know, concern that these people have? If we did, Gene Wu would still be in China, because I believe he was adopted by a white American couple. What is it about non-white people being adopted by white couples when white parents sacrifice their entire lives to, you know, give some, you know, poor Chinese kid a chance in America, and his repayment for all of that, you know, love and generosity is to basically declare a war on them and say, we're conquering and destroying you. It's sort of symbolic. It's kind of a microcosm of world history to a large degree. And I don't know why we are expected to take this or sit here and act like what he just said was even remotely acceptable, let alone like correct. Remember, this comes as today, Monday, the February 9th, there are still headlines in the front page. I saw one of the top stories on Google News today was about Donald Trump tweeting a meme showing the Obamas as apes. Okay, so Trump accidentally tweets out and like doesn't really watch the video, but it's got Obama and his husband as monkeys. And that's, we're still talking about it 4 days later. Gene Wu, just in no uncertain terms, is like, oh, all the non-whites should rise up and kill the oppressors, the white people. And we're supposed to think that these two things are even comparable? No, you people are genocidal and need to be stopped by force.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Spin, no surrender.
All right, let's go.
This is Harrison Smith on the War Room with live stream firing on X and band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room on our adventure across the globe. That was great, guys. Welcome back, folks. We're going to talk about Epstein now. Oh, yeah, we're going to do it. Let's get into it. And let's get into it by first going back in time, traveling back nearly a decade to October 2017, when myself and Rob Dew were on the streets of New York City going around interviewing people about random stuff. The whole live stream is about 2 hours long, but I clipped a segment of it, and I have been looking for this for a very long time. But if there's one thing you should know about me, it's that I have archives that are unmanageable. Frankly, they're too big. I keep everything. I keep absolutely everything double copied, backed up, stored. So I went into my archives this weekend and I dug through the just infinite amount of content that we produce for you fine folks here at InfoWars. And I went all the way back to 2017 and I found the clip 13 here, on October 25th, 2017, Rob Dew, who you can follow at Dew's News, and I went, there in Times Square and talked about elite pedophilia in a way that wouldn't become commonplace until about 2 weeks ago when the Epstein files released. But here's Rob Dew showing that we were, I mean, beyond on the ball, beyond tip of the spear. Here's us a decade ago laying out the reality about how the world operates in a way that people are just now finally coming to terms with. Let's watch.
There's a lot of reports in Hollywood that there's major pedophilia going on where these producers are going after little kids. And that's, oh yeah, man, like it gets deep. This guy's shaking his head. He knows what I'm talking about. It gets deep. Sex slavery is one part of it. The other part is preying on little kids in the entertainment industry. And then there's, but it also, it's in government too. It's ingrained in these institutions. Go look up on your internet that you've had, hold on, let me finish this point. The Franklin cover-up. All right. That's about what goes on in politics, not even in, entertainment. So back in the 1980s, and this is in with the Republicans too. So people always like to bitch about Democrats. The Republicans are equally as guilty of this stuff. These guys, when they get high up in power to go to the next level, they go, look, you got to have sex with little kids or you're not going to get to the next level.
What the fuck?
Exactly.
I don't want that job.
Nobody.
Fuck it.
Only those people want that job.
Like, what type
it's
of
a weird power thing?
Ew.
But you go look up the Franklin cover-up. It was written by a state senator from Nebraska, where they were getting kids out of a Nebraska boys' home and flying them to parties in D.C. Okay.
That's disgusting.
Totally disgusting. Ew. But that's who runs the world. That's who runs these. And it have in the U.K. There was a famous TV. What's the TV guy's name? Jimmy Savile. This guy was on TV. He was like a personality on TV doing music shows. This guy went into hospitals and would rape dead bodies. All right. And he was hanging out with the king and queen. All right. That's how crazy it is. It goes all the way up. And that's why I'm at this group InfoWar. That's not the only thing we talk about, but that's one of the things we try to bring to light to people. Like, there is some sick shit going on in this world, and it's a lot bigger than, you know, whether we could smoke weed in the streets.
Why I say that is because when you try to fight to pass laws to make the legal age for a girl 17 now, you're setting pedophiles' eyes legally preying on
minors.
Right, immediately. They couldn't wait for the legal age.
They want to make it 13 in some countries.
Oh, my.
13?
I wish they would. I got a daughter that's 13. Try it.
Yeah.
Be sure to follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and at AJN Live.
So there you go, folks. Tomorrow's News Today, next decade's News Today, talking about the royal family being involved, the UK being involved up to their ears, the Republicans being involved, not just Democrats. And this was in 2017, around the time that the Harvey Weinstein case was being exposed and the Me Too movement had like just started going and people were still, you know, finding out about this stuff. And we were there on the ground informing and educating people on a one-to-one basis, but of course thousands of people were watching us and being exposed to this information all along. So again, if this all is a surprise to you, if this is all shocking and horrifying, it should be good. It is all as bad as it seems, but don't think that nobody knew about this. We all knew about it. And like I've said over and over for things like COVID, this is part of the reason why it's important that InfoWars be here and be able to talk about this stuff, because it would be easy for them to act like we're all just learning this all at the same time. Oh my God, nobody had any idea. But now that these files are coming out, now we're learning. It's like, okay, well then how do I have that video from a decade ago? How do I have that video from a decade ago if we're all just learning this all of the sudden? I mean, this is why I would say it all the time with COVID, because at the time we were going, if you shut down the economy, you're going to have all these negative outcomes and it's not going to stop the virus. And of course it proves that we are right. But in retrospect, they go back and go, well, we thought we were doing the right thing. We certainly believed that this was the right course of action, but it's ridiculous because we were there the whole time exposing the reality. So how do we know if you didn't? Of course they knew. They all know. They know. We know. We just tell you they don't. It's not that complicated. So we weren't the only ones knowing about how things operated beforehand. And this has been kind of darkly funny for me. Not even that funny. Funny might not be the right word for it, but people have been posting this skit, and it's a skit from Trevor Moore, who in the Whitest Kids You Know. And Trevor Moore died during COVID in very suspicious circumstances. But he's a dude that was very aware of what was going on. He was very red-pilled, and yet they were funny enough that they got these, you know, Hollywood shows, and they're on, you know, they're fairly popular in the mainstream. But they would make, I mean, he's done skits where he's talking about 9/11 being an inside job and, I mean, tons of crazy stuff. So then this skit they made exposing as a joke what we all now know to be actually true, because they also knew it was true. But the funny thing about it, or the sort of the weird thing about it, is that people are posting this and going, see, they have to tell you what they're really doing. And it's like, no, guys, the Whitest Kids You Know and Trevor Moore are not in the elite who are doing some sort of revelation of the method for you. No, they're making fun of the elite in a way that exposes the real way that our world functions. So it's weird to me that people don't know who this guy is. They don't know who Trevor Moore is. He died like less than 5 years ago, and he was an amazing info warrior in his own way. And so it's kind of sad to me that people see this and go, oh, they're revealing the mess. No, this guy was like a hero and probably died because he refused to stop exposing what he knew was going on from the inside, being around the Hollywood types. So let's go to the skit that people have been posting, clip 29. Skit by comedian Trevor Moore, who was exposing to you what the reality is, not trying to pull one over on you. Just so we're clear of what the point of this skit is. Let's go to it.
Whoa. This is a cool office. I like the little fire things over there and everything.
Hi, we're the... Oh. We're the Illuminati.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. So we heard about your big special. We are very excited.
Yeah, thanks. Me too. Yeah, but before you can do a special on a major cable network, we're going to need you to sign some things.
Okay, sounds good.
We're also going to need you to swear a blood oath to us and our cause. And if you violate this oath, we're going to murder you and everyone that you love.
Got it. Great.
You'll also need to pledge your soul to Baphomet. He's this god that we all worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He looks pretty cool. He's like a crazy goat man kind of thing.
Now, we will need you to include some of our messaging in your program.
Oh, okay. So you mean like there's going to be a commercial sponsor or something?
No. Nothing tacky like that. No. We just want you to have some, you know, self-destructive themes. You know, like we use a lot of hip-hop artists to glorify violence and drugs, pop stars to push materialism, country acts to instill suspicion of education.
Oh, okay. That sounds cool.
We'll also need to film you in a lewd act with a minor to use as blackmail if you ever think of telling anyone about anything that happened here today.
Now, could I self-tape that, or is that something that you'd want me to shoot here?
We'd like you to do that here.
Yeah. Well, finally, we're going to need a suicide note in your own handwriting, just in case things get crazy.
I actually might have an old one on me. I'm sort of a pack rat.
I think we're good. Trevor, do you have any questions for us?
Yeah. Who killed Kennedy?
A French sniper, but it was set up by Lyndon Johnson.
Right, sorry, that was a stupid
A French sniper. But for real though, but it turns out actually though, but that's actually how it works. Only instead of like cool robes and like, you know, menacing atmosphere, it's just like a dental chair and like a fat investment banker. It's not as glamorous. It's not quite as like glamorous and mysterious as we've been led to believe from the Eyes Wide Shut type portrayal of these networks. No, it's a lot more sultry. It's a lot more grimy than that, might be a good way to put it. Now, some of the things revealed from Jeffrey Epstein in the last little while are pretty interesting. Let's go through some of them, shall we? From Republic Apostle on X. Why was Jeffrey Epstein casually texting about going into a skiff on July 6th, 2018? In this particular PDF from the Epstein files, Epstein tells a redacted contact that he's entering a skiff, which is a sensitive compartment information facility, a classified intel room, which needs security clearance the next day for a talk. The associate replies, always the best kind. Skiff access for a convicted sex offender with zero official government role post-2008. This screams intel cutout slash asset status. Who cleared him? What was discussed amid Trump chaos, Mueller probe, European populist wave? The same night, a redacted contact, strong deduction is that it's likely Steve Bannon, text, dude, if only I could, I'm heading to Rome in the morning to meet Salvini. Epstein geeks out. The intel here is superb. Repeated, probe strategy on the coup. Redacted says, I'm deep in the middle of. Timing, exact day Bannon met Salvini in Rome to recruit him to, quote, the movement, far-right EU alliance, Salvini, Orban, Le Pen, Farage. Epstein got internal briefings on Salvini, Orban, joked about Bannon, quote, sitting on Salvini's lap, offered his plane. Bannon as messenger, delivering superb intel back to Epstein's network, blending Trump orbit, European disruption, possible foreign influence ops. Why skiff the next day? Briefing on foreign populist plays, compromat, geopolitical leverage, official narrative, Epstein equals lone financier slash trafficker. The reality is that the skiff entry plus real-time Salvini coup intel plus Bannon text coordination shred that claim. Pattern fits intel embeds, not coincidence. Who facilitated the skiff? What else is buried in these drops? And so this is all in response to him saying, I'm going into a skiff tomorrow. Now, skiffs are not, you know, it's not the United States government are not the only people that would use skiffs or that type of setup. It basically just means a room that is shielded from outside observation and you're not allowed to take any communication networks inside. So it's likely that he was talking about in America. It could also be a skiff for a foreign state, or it could be a skiff for, you know, corporation. I imagine Lockheed Martin has a skiff of its own. If I wouldn't be, you know, I don't think I'd be going out of line saying something like that. But that's just one of the revelations that, again, hint to a wider role in the intelligence community than previously admitted. Meanwhile, from War Monitors on X, FBI document found in Epstein's files discusses how a decoy dead body was used after Epstein supposedly died. So this would be in contradiction to what we were supposing last week, that it could have perhaps been Hillary Clinton's brother, who died a month before Jeffrey Epstein, whose body was swapped with him. That was some we were speculating about last week, and that's still a potential. But this is what this one says. Upon arriving at the MCC, blank completed tasks before blank assigned him to the hospital on Park Row, which is separated from the main MCC building and where Epstein's body was being guarded. When blank arrived at the hospital with case management coordinator blank, who was responsible for taking Epstein's fingerprints, COs blank and blank were with Epstein's body and had secured the scene. Blank remained with COs blank and blank until personnel from the office of chief medical examiner arrived to transport Epstein to their facility. Due to the large news media presence outside the MCC, a male OCME official called and said they would be arriving at the loading dock with a black vehicle in order to thwart the media. Blank and blank and blank used boxes and sheets to create what appeared to be a human body, which was put into the white OCME vehicle, which the press followed, allowing the black people, the black vehicle to depart unnoticed with Epstein's body. So a little bit suspicious there, you might say. Not exactly, you know, a red-handed smoking gun admission that they had, you know, swapped the real body with the fake one necessarily, but an admission that they did in fact perform some trickery, some sleight of hand in order to manipulate the press into not adequately following the right body. Those are names, references, and the, what was it? What was that image? Because they all looked like Epstein. It's like in a weird way, their faces like blend together. I don't know. I thought maybe there was like AI manipulation. Why do they all look exactly the same? It's kind of crazy, actually. Right? From like the third row down, I'm not convinced that we're not seeing doubles here. They all look very, very similar. Or at least they all have exactly the same, they're all making exactly the same face. Is this created with AI, maybe? That doesn't look like Kevin Spacey, and that picture of Epstein looks a little wonky. Anyway. Yeah, there's a lot of people mentioned. Here's another one. Pretty interesting stuff. Hey, look, I caught Jeffrey Epstein being a middleman to set up a discreet meeting with Hillary Clinton. So somebody asks, can you organize a discreet meeting between Sarko and Hillary Clinton in New York? If not, who should we ask? And Epstein responds, meeting with Hillary not easily discreet. When? Although, I don't know. That could be the other way around. Could be Epstein first asking. And then this Colom Olivier person responding, meetings with Hillary are not easily discreet. When? Regardless, Epstein is there helping to coordinate the quote-unquote discreet meeting with Hillary Clinton. Now, this is a very disturbing revelation. Maybe the most disturbing we've seen so far. On exactly the same day that the FBI opened a child sex trafficking case against Epstein in 2018, he ordered half a dozen 55-gallon containers full of sulfuric acid to his private island. It could be a coincidence, but what are the odds? On the same day? Was he tipped off? Yeah, I think he may have been. So literally on the 6th of December 2018, the FBI initiated a child sex trafficking case, and on that very day is a work order, an order for 6 55-gallon drum sulfuric acid with fuel and insurance charge for transport. I wonder what he was doing with sulfuric acid. Of course, if you're a fan of something like Breaking Bad, you're probably not wondering, because sulfuric acid is well known as a chemical that you can use to completely dissolve a body, meaning bones and everything disappear. By the way, Epstein also lived on an island with the ocean surrounding him. They use hydrofluoric acid. But the whatever acid the Epstein ordered does the same stuff. Sulfuric acid does very much the same. Meanwhile, Epstein footage wiped by prison warden. This document states that the prison camera system malfunctioned shortly before Epstein's death and was not fixed. After Epstein died, they immediately wiped all footage and repaired the system because it needed to run. This is highly suspicious and contradictory. When an incident occurs, as you would expect them to check whether any drive actually contained data, they didn't know. They assumed. Redacted advised that only one hard drive of the camera system was working at the time of the incident on August 10th, 2019, when a DVR went bad. None of the cameras recorded. There was a system failure of DVR-2 on July 19th, 2019, and the motherboard failed on DVR-2 on August 8th, 2019. The hard drive failure occurred on August 10th, 2019. After the incident, Redacted was asked about the cameras. There were two brand new hard drives to install, but installing the new hard drives would mean that all prior data would be lost. The warden wanted video, and so Redacted told him to start working on the system. Redacted started removing the bad drives in order to rebuild the DVR. Redacted advised that an FBI agent was the one who pulled out the DVR. Redacted also advised that he knew that by replacing both hard drives, the system would be wiped, and that he had advised personnel at MCC of that. Not to be a conspiracy theorist, but that sounds like a cover story. Yeah, it does. But what they've admitted here is that an FBI agent was the one who removed the DVRs from the jail where Jeffrey Epstein supposedly killed himself. So is it all starting to become clear? Because it's not all that complicated. Let's go to clip number 20 here. This is top streamer Asmongold, where he identified the word jerky as some sort of code, probably for eating little kids. Let's watch. This is clip 20.
Hope you are feeling better. Did we analyze the jerky? Why didn't we get jerky this week? I also added more to the jerky and ginger lemongrass. Thank you so much. Super cool. Beef jerky. Delicious. JoJo is here and we'll walk the jerky over to Jeffrey. We'll walk the jerky over to Jeffrey.
Why would jerky walk around?
Why would it do that? Delicious lunch. Beef jerky. Mmm. Steve and I are very grateful above all for your friendship. Some of these emails are so wholesome, aren't they? It's too bad they eat kids. A small insulated bag would be fine. I don't remember checking it. No need for crazy amounts of ice. One should do. There is one bag of beef jerky in the fridge. Please get it. Also, blank has more at her place. Please get it from her as well. I suppose it needs to be in a cold insulated bag. Just wanted to touch base about jerky. JE said he was going to start eating regular food again, so he might be eating less jerky. He said he has 6 bags of it in the downstairs freezer. Why would you freeze jerky? Steve needs a 6 to 8 ounce portion of jerky. I gave you all the jerky we had, and it lasted only half the amount of time it was meant to. I felt like it was more important for you to have the jerky to eat during my time off. My plan is to make a batch before I leave for LSJ, and some of that will go to Steve, and the rest will go to you at LSJ when I arrive. Little St. James Island. That's what LSJ must mean. So logically, that means that they were doing this off of the island. Steve Hansen is sending jerky to your attention overnight. I believe it should be enough to get him through. Jeffrey Epstein is asking to bring him more jerky. I'm flying in on Friday. I will bring jerky. Is there a time I could come say hi and drop off the beef jerky? And that's from Jeffrey Epstein. Francis has time to come tomorrow. Show me how to make it. Jerky class anyone. He will bring you to taste his new jerky recipe from the restaurant. He sends a warm hello. He's working at a restaurant called guys, the restaurant's called Cannibal and Cooks. Wait for it. Beef jerky and steak. Can blank make some jerky? I think we should landscape all around the house to use the water if possible. If the main house is not enough. Are there any recorded images of Jeffrey Epstein with beef jerky at all? No, there are no recorded or publicly known images of Jeff Epstein with beef jerky. Who sent?
Yeah, people are saying it's code for adrenochrome. Could be. We'll be right back with Captain Undergod. We're going to talk about weather manipulation.
RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown.
That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Guest Undergotten. He goes by Undergotten or Captain Undergotten on X. And we're going to talk about weather control systems, permanent, persistent weather control systems, which are beyond just creating storms at random, but rather an electronic grid by which they manipulate the flow of the atmosphere continuously. He's made some very interesting discoveries, and I'm very excited to talk to him about that. But just like elite pedophilia, you know, chemtrails would be another one of these things. Although chemtrails is, I guess it is kind of like pedophilia. Because I was going to say, it's almost like everybody is just accepted now with the Epstein files. Like everybody gets it, elite pedophilia, right? If you're paying attention at all, if you're not totally willfully ignorant, then you get that InfoWars has been right the entire time. chemtrails is kind of the same thing where like they basically admit it now. You can find, you know, guys going on podcasts and describing the companies they run where they're cloud seeding or spraying chemtrails. But like people still think it's ridiculous. I still see memes that are like, yeah, right. Next, you're going to believe in chemtrails. And it's like, what? No, they're real. What? You guys are still pretending like this isn't real? Of course it's real. And so I was going to say it's different than the pedophilia thing, because now that the pedophilia thing's come out, everybody's just accepting it pretty much. You're not going to see a lot of memes with people going, oh, yeah, next you're going to be telling me that there's an elite pedophile ring. It's like, well, yeah, there is. Chemtrails, they're like still trying to pretend like this is a conspiracy theory. It's just not. And whether it's chemtrails or electromagnetic manipulation, we have been able to control the weather for a very long time. And people are just coming around to realizing this. Captain Undergotten is himself actually figuring out how this all operates. I understand we're joined by him now. You can follow Captain Undergotten at Undergotten. That's UNDERGOTTEN on X. Undergotten. He's an educator, woodworker, a poster of government and university data, and an unimpeachable adherent to the scientific method. Captain Undergotten, welcome to the show, sir.
Good to be here. Thank you, Harrison.
Very good to have you. And I know I have a couple of videos of yours, so I was going to go to one of those. I don't know if you want to go to a video and explain it, or if you just want to start by sort of laying out for the audience what you've discovered, what your working theory is. Do you want to go to one of the videos, or you want to just break it down for us here?
I think that pinned video I showed you would do a better job than I can by myself.
All right, which one's that? What's the learn about radar? Okay, good. That's the one I was going to go to anyway. All right. This is from Captain Undergotten. It's pinned on his account, so you can find it on X at Undergotten. Here is his little introduction about radar. Let's watch.
Okay, these are NEXRAD Doppler radar bases. There are about 170 of these scattered about the country, but these eight are of particular interest, and I'm going to show you why. This is the data from each individual radar base compiled as a mosaic. We're looking at a clip from a time lapse I took in February of 2025, showing about 12 hours of radar data. And as you can see, there are all kinds of wild-looking microwave beams firing off of the radar bases, which the National Weather Service will tell you doesn't mean anything at all. But if we trace out the beams, which you can see me doing here, from the radar bases which most often produce them, we find a grid is revealed. Along this grid, spirals repeatedly occur in the same locations like a piece of 1990s computer software. It's the very definition of the difference between natural and man-made. Random and unpredictable weather on planet Earth cannot possibly occur with this regularity and in the same locations without human intervention. If it were this simple to predict the weather, you would have learned about it in kindergarten. What you are looking at here are clouds conforming to Euclidean geometry, geometry not found in nature. Do with that information what you will.
So there you go. That is, again, pinned on Captain Undergotten's account at Undergotten on X. It's pretty interesting stuff. I mean, it's hard to watch that video once you lay the lines down. I mean, you watch the video of the radar, you don't really see anything. Then you lay the lines down. It's pretty undeniable. There are certain swirls around these particular nexus points. How did you discover this? What got you going down this road in the first place?
So I'm kind of a student of Dane Wigington. I saw him actually on Alex's show a couple times, last year, and he shows this video of radar bases pushing Hurricane Helen, into her target. And, I've only seen videos from him and others of just the radar data. So what I've done here to kind of try to prove it is, I've got four different layers of radar, and I'm overlaying them over the satellite image. So you can clearly see that it's not an anomaly like the Weather Service will always claim, you know, oh, that was just an anomaly on the radar data. Well, no, you can see it in the clouds too. Everything the radar's showing, the clouds match right up. So you've got a picture from space and you've got the radar data from the ground.
And so, so that was maybe your first hint that they were lying about something.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of a radio hobbyist too, and I've seen explanations of what those beams mean, and they don't satisfy. Everything's like, oh, it's trees. Oh, it's birds. It's bats. It's they, and you know, they've got multiple different explanations on the National Weather Service's websites too that, you know, none of them jive with each other. It's like, it's not even an anomaly. It's a thing that keeps happening constantly in the exact same places. It's the opposite of an anomaly, you know? So, I don't know. I just had a kind of a epiphany that, well, what if it's, let's trace those lines out and see what they do. And then, yeah, I got a lot more than just spirals to show you there. if you could, I've got another video. It got pretty big. It's got like 4 million hits.
Wow.
It's I think it's the third one I sent. It says Arctic Blasts.
Arctic Blast. Guys, if we can find that one, I have the highlights of some of the best examples of geoengineering recorded on the Sunday Weekly Weather Warcast. I guess, do you have any theory of how exact, is this the video?
Correct? That's a long one. I won't make you watch that whole thing. I just wanted to show you the beginning of that one, where you can see them producing clouds from the ground.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have that one too. Can you tell me?
Yeah.
So we know of a couple methods that they use, right? There's cloud seeding, obviously, or chemtrails strategic aerosol injections is another code word they use for it, but that's planes, you know, spraying particles, the water molecules attract to the particles and it can cause rain. We've known about that one for a while. I'm sure there's a method you could do to get rid of clouds as well through that. Then there's things like HARP, which again, people are like, you think HARP controls the weather? Well, it was built to control the weather. Like, that's why they built it. It was heating up the ionosphere in order to manipulate pressure flow. So if you can heat up the ionosphere, you create a low pressure system there and, you know, everything, obviously nature abhors a vacuum and it swoops in to try to fill that up. What are the radar systems, that you've identified? What do you think they're doing? Is it something like that? Ionospheric, heating up?
It's exactly the same thing as HARP. In fact, so this predates HARP. You know, they've been using radar for, you know, since what, 30s, 20s, you know, it's as old as radio itself, you know, it's
right.
But the HARP thing really is just a testing facility. It is what they say it is. That's where they can teach people, how to use this radar system. And the radar thing was always for this. This is as near as I can tell, because they're controlling the whole jet stream. I mean, I do this weekly weather warcast, every Sunday, which is just 2 minutes where I show the previous week and what the weather did. And it is week after week lining up with this grid, which is what the Arctic Blasts video is, just a compilation of a few weeks worth of that data. If you want to see that, it's pretty much how they make winter happen.
Mm. Well, and obviously there are some, you know, natural weather occurrences, that have existed forever, right? The, you know.
Oh yeah. They didn't reinvent the wheel here. They're right. Using natural processes, but they're manipulating the whole thing. Like there's 100 different ways that they're making clouds, not just spraying them in the sky. There's tons of stuff happening on the ground that I don't really focus on too much, because this radar thing alone takes up like all my free time and, is the most fascinating bit to me.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's pretty undeniable when you actually just watch the videos. We're watching it here on screen. It's pretty undeniable that clearly something is happening. There are these certain places that this occurs, and it's always been a little bit confusing to me because the weather system is sort of a closed system. It's not like you can create a high pressure, you know, atmosphere over here and nowhere else is affected. Like, it seems like a closed system where affecting anything would affect everything. So how are they carrying out these control operations? Like, how are they maintaining control of the weather systems?
It must be worldwide.
That's what I'm trying to get at, is like, are they controlling worldwide?
Looking at the Epstein stuff, I think we've got a global government de facto. That's, you know, pretty apparent, isn't it?
Yes, I'd say it certainly is. But what would be the purpose of this? Just maintaining weather system, you know, continuity. Well, so we aren't surprised by a big storm that could wipe out crops or something. Like, what do you think the argument is for the people actually doing this? Like, what are they telling, you know, the people that they're doing?
Well, there's the global warming scam, right? There, you know, that I mean, that's a good excuse. If you tell people, oh, it's global warming happening, they might go along with this, you know, and then they're maybe thinking they're doing a benevolent thing by helping out cloud seeding and whatever. But I mean, in actuality, it's just like everything they do. It's all about control, you know? I mean, you can engineer winter down here in the lower 48 states, and even though it was actually supposed to be an extremely mild winter, like 60 degrees this year, instead they've been funneling Arctic air down for weeks and weeks and weeks, and now all the heating bills stay on, and all the, you know, they can manipulate, you know, gas trading prices. They can, there's tons of stuff that's affected by the weather, and the, you know, these are the guys that love manipulating the stock market, so why would they not want this?
Yeah, it makes sense. And there have just been a couple instances over the last couple of years that it's like, this has never happened before. I'm thinking, of course, of the, you know, big hurricane. Was that Helen? Maybe that's the one you were talking about, where it just, I mean, the fact that it went up through Appalachia and flooded these places in like North Carolina that have never been subjected to a hurricane swell ever, but, and they were completely wiped out. And it was like, how did this even occur? I mean, have there been things like that that have stood out to you as like, this is clearly an abnormal, unnatural storm?
I mean, I'm watching it every week. The way, if you wouldn't mind showing the Arctic blast video, if you guys can find that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have that one on my list. So if the crew can find it and play it. Is it here? Is this the one that we're looking at on the screen here? Captain Undergotten?
Yes, there it is.
Okay.
Yep, that's the guy.
All right, should we play this with its audio then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. So
this is just highlights from the Warcast.
Okay, highlights from the Warcast from Captain Undergotten, who can be followed on X at Undergotten. You posted this with the label, weeks and weeks of Arctic blasts have been steered into the U.S. to engineer this ice storm. And you can see it on the weekly weather forecast. It's obvious they use satellite microwaves to build walls of clouds and direct the jet stream. So let's watch this video from Captain Undergotten here.
So we will pause our perusal of the time lapse here, where we can see a wall of cloud manipulated by a microwave to create a massive channel to bring Arctic air south and cool the country in an artificially induced winter. It's also worth noting that the cloud changes direction several times as it cuts sharp corners when it encounters different radar bases along the route. And since we're sussing sharp corners, if we look to the right, we can see some in a typical location performing the same aforementioned channeling function. Now, turning our gaze to the west, we witness what happens once the cool air has been injected into the country through that channel. Locking in along typical grid lines, we can see a giant wall of microwave energy pushing the winter weather east to force the chemical cool down like the fan blade on a giant air conditioner. All that cooling comes at a cost, though. As the week progresses, we see the controllers don't care in the slightest if they have to block out the sun for an entire week, as long as their winter illusion is maintained. Record warm temperatures recorded throughout the country, except for right here on the anomalously cold East Coast. Our week begins with a massive blast of cold Arctic air being funneled southeasterly by the forever beam of microwave created by KBIS in Bismarck, North Dakota. Of course, all of the radar bases help create this microwave wall, but that base in particular is the clear leader of the pack, as evidenced by the beams that can always be seen shooting northwest out of that base. This truth is also paralleled by the satellite images, where we can literally see geometrically perfect straight walls of homogeneous cloud stretching out for hundreds of miles, clearly wrangled by radar. Staring at this satellite time-lapse, our week begins with another Arctic blast of cold air injected into the lower 48 states by way of KBIS in Bismarck, North Dakota. We saw this last week and will likely be seeing it for the remainder of the engineered winter directed mainly at the eastern United States. Then, as promised in our previous warcast, the Arctic blasts continue to funnel frigid air by way of the aforementioned microwave wall straight through the lower 48, allowing the globalist energy cabal to continue extracting their petrol dollars as a million thermostats crank up the heat. Then things pop back into motion just in time for a massive Arctic blast to come tearing through the country, cooling the clouds to create chemical snow. We've seen this happen nearly every week on the Warcast whenever winter is wanting, as the Earth is obviously too hot now for it to occur on its own.
Wow, it is fascinating. And, you know, one of the upsetting things to me about learning all of this is, like, you can't go outside and go, ah, what a crummy day, darn it. It's like, I can't help but think, like, dang it, they made it a crummy day for me. That it's not just nature.
Yeah, they did this on purpose.
Going on, of course, yeah. It's like, no, somebody's doing this to us. I mean, is that where we're at? Is it really, is our weather that controlled at this point?
It certainly would seem so. It's a bit of an obsession for me, so I share your pain there.
Well, okay, to be devil's advocate here for a little bit, or I guess this is just sort of a normal question about the placing of the radars. Did they place these radars in particular these exact locations? Like, was there already sort of persistent weather patterns that they thought, okay, that's a good place to put the radar because that seems to be a leverage point? Because obviously weather is affected. I mean, the classic example would be like a mountain range where clouds will go up to the mountain range. Half of the mountain range on one side is extremely wet and verdant. And on the other side, it's a desert because so obviously the weather gets affected by landscapes and what time of year it is and maybe the strength of the sun or the power of the electromagnetic field as it fluctuates. Is there a reason these radars were put in these places in particular? And is there any chance that these weather patterns that you're observing are simply natural phenomenon, and they put the radar there, you know, to observe the phenomenon?
Well, so they definitely, like we said before, you know, they didn't reinvent the wheel. They're definitely using natural flows and things like mountains and stuff. But then the proof lies in the fact that, I mean, I don't have a lot of lines on that screen, and yet week after week, everything is locking in. Those cloud lines, it looks small on the cell phone here, but I mean, that's 1,000 miles worth of clouds that all locks in geometrically perfectly with this line that I drew last year in February.
Right.
And it just keeps happening. So it's, and there's no mountain there. So, you know, there's nothing for it. There's nothing that should be stopping the clouds right there in, you know, corn country.
Right. Right. That makes sense. So help us tie it together. Because the other thing I would wonder is like, okay, if we're doing this, then I imagine China's doing this. I imagine other countries are doing this. And obviously your broadcast is called the Weekly Weather Warcast. I mean, are these different weather control systems fighting against each other, do you think? Is there any outside influence here? Or is whoever's doing this to America doing it worldwide, do you think?
That's a big question, and I don't have the compute power yet, so I haven't really been paying anything but America because I have, you know, access to this radar data. That's, for me, the most incredible part is that I'm able to easily make these maps here where I didn't look too hard, but I didn't have a lot of luck finding radar data for any other country. But that stuff is available. People tag me all the time with like, look, oh, this happened in Russia here. This happened in China. This, and it's, you can see the exact same configurations and shapes and everything. It looks exactly the same as this, you know, so it's definitely happening all over the world. And I imagine that we're the ones that set that up to begin with. But who's in control of it in, say, Russia, for instance? I couldn't guess.
Yeah, well, it certainly would be an effective way to wage war. I mean, if you can cover, you know, your enemy's ground in snow and freeze their crops or whatever else, it's like, yeah, I would be looking into this type of technology, too, if I was, in charge of protecting the country.
Iran has accused Israel of creating these droughts right on the UN floor, at least according to Dane Wigington. I haven't seen that video yet, but they've been saying that they've been creating droughts in Iran for years.
I wouldn't be surprised at that in the slightest. I mean, I mentioned that myself when we're first talking about, you know, Iran experiencing these big riots. People didn't realize part of that, at least, was the fact that they had, like, run out of water. I mean, they had basically gone totally dry. They'd been in a drought situation for a long time. And, of course, it was exactly the same time that Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, is bragging about using sanctions to, you know, crush the Iranian economy and force these protests anyway. So the idea that they would also be running a weather modification program isn't out of the question at all, I don't think. So, yeah, maybe that is some common usage. And again, I'm just watching this time lapse and it's really undeniable. I mean, there are certain radar arrays that just seem to be the center point of the swirls. And it's just crazy.
Yeah.
And it's that one right in the middle there. What is so special about that one? And is there anything, you know, in particular about that radar array that sets it apart from the others?
I don't think so. That's KDLH in Duluth, Minnesota.
Is that Minnesota? It's this one right here, right? So it looks like
guy,
it's
yep,
almost
that's
in Canada.
KDLH. That's Duluth, Minnesota, right on the lake. Yeah. Yeah. That's the center. It kind of almost makes up the top of a pentagram shape, actually.
Right. That's a coincidence, I'm sure. I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
And I think we can go to this ground-based cloud seeding video. We can just play it as B-roll. But this is another way that they are, and we have video of it. It's not speculation. They create clouds on the ground. So we got 2 minutes left here. Wrap it up for us. Captain Undergotten. My guest is Captain Undergotten. You can follow him on X at Undergotten. That's UNDERGOTTEN. And he's got tons of videos about this explaining it all. So if your interest is piqued by this, tons of information on Undergotten's account on X. But sum it up for us here in the last 2 minutes. What do people need to understand about what your research has uncovered?
Well, I mean, without harping on it too much, this is smoking gun evidence. This is, you know, university level stuff that I've done here. You've got the two pieces of data correlating constantly, and I demonstrate that week after week. But I mean, really, the only thing I want to say is that we really ought to try to put a stop to this. And there's a group on X called Reclaim Our Skies, and they're focused on grassroots political action, getting bills passed in every single state to outlaw geoengineering. And so if anybody is interested, I think everybody should join ROS, Reclaim Our Skies on X. You can find it at the top of my page. And there's a lot of good ladies and gentlemen there that are pointing to the right folks and any bills that are being passed in your particular state. So,
you know, that's such a good way to do it, because it's the type of thing that we could never, I can't really see how we could get that over the finish line on the federal level. But states have already passed some of these laws. So I guess that's a good final question. Have those laws being passed, have they had a impact as far as you can observe, or have those not been maybe instituted yet?
Not yet. Okay. No, but I mean, you know, we need critical mass. We've only got a few states that have passed the laws so far. So once you have enough states, I'd say, we've got some clout.
Well, it's very interesting information. And again, as you watch these videos, it becomes undeniable. You may not agree with the conclusions that he comes to, but you can't deny that there's something going on here and it's worth investigating. And Captain Undergotten is the only one I know who's actually looking into this stuff and looking into it in a very real and thorough way. So go catch his weekly weather warcast on Sundays and follow him on X at Undergotten, UNDERGOTTEN. Thank you so much for joining us today, sir.
Thank you, Harrison. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure is all mine. Stay with us, folks. We're going to be back after a short commercial break with Rex Jones in studio. We're going to take your calls. We're going to talk about the Epstein files and so much more. So a lot to come on today's episode of The War Room.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
We're here in Santa Barbara County, home to one of the longest running cloud seeding operations in the country. We've got some ground-based cloud seeding equipment right here, and we're going to get to hear all about how it works and see it in action. Let's check it out. Cloud seeding is the most common type of weather modification, and it has many different techniques and applications. Today, it's mostly used to increase rain and snowfall, reduce the size of hail, and reduce fog at airports.
Traditionally, cloud seeding has been done from the air. So airplanes have had racks on them where these same flares are positioned on the airplane, and the airplane flies into the storm. So in order to reduce the cost to the client and reduce our carbon footprint, we've been able to station these on the ground. Now, we can do this in places where weather permits.
Behind a barbed wire fence designed to keep away curious cattle, the cloud seeding gear awaits the right kind of weather.
So these are referred to as AHOGs. That stands for Automated High Output Ground Seeding Systems. We've got three primary components of our equipment here. The first is the control module that you see behind me. Then we have our actual cloud seeding flares. The cameras for security, it also helps us observe weather conditions in real time and make sure that all of the equipment is operating correctly during a storm. Inside these canisters are the flares with the seeding agents. The canisters are used as spark arresters, so they prevent sparks from reaching the ground. So we pull off the spark arrestor, you can see the flare inside. The ignition of the flares are controlled from the control module that's behind us. So the white triangle there is a cell service modem, and then the solar panel keeps us powered. Inside we have a battery and then a control board. So the control board interacts with the software. We're linked or synced with software in Utah currently, and that allows us to fire or ignite any of the flares from that remote location.
Because of the lack of clouds and proper wind conditions, today is not a good day for cloud seeding at all. But Garrett and his team are going to light a flare for us anyway, so we can show you how it works. There's just one small problem. The battery in the control module died shortly before we arrived, but it's nothing a little jumpstart can't fix. After a little juice from Garrett's truck, it's time to set off the flare.
The primary seeding agent in this is silver iodide. Silver iodide is a simple compound. It's polar in nature like water, so there's chemical properties that help attract water molecules to silver iodide. It's also structured molecularly similar to ice. So it helps generate or helps spawn the generation of ice buildup, and then that becomes a hailstone or a snowflake that falls here primarily as rain. So one flare like this has billions and billions of potential sites for that water to congregate around. We'll launch them in sequences. We watch the radar to see when bands of the highest concentration of liquid water are passing above us in the clouds, and we try to target those high concentration pockets in the storm systems. We'll launch between 3 and 20 flares for a typical storm. Once the flare is lit, it takes a little bit of time to carry up into the clouds, and once it's up at the proper elevation, it'll take about 20 minutes to instigate the rain or the snow process. So overall, you're probably looking at about 40 to 45 minutes before you're seeing the maximum result. And that's why we're stationed miles away from our target area. So we have very specific targets that drain directly into major water basins, and we time these events to correlate with rain above those intended targets. One of the biggest questions or most common questions that we receive relates to the safety of silver iodide. Silver is biologically inert, so it will not interact in a negative fashion with plant or animal life. Iodine is actually a critical building block of a number of hormones in animals, so it is safe as well. In fact, if you look at table salt or baby formula, you'll see iodine in its molecular form as an additive in those commonly consumed substances.
But what about other potential adverse effects? Could cloud seeding affect communities outside the targeted areas?
Sometimes there is a concern about robbing Peter to pay Paul. So are we benefiting California at the expense of Nevada? And the truth is that storm systems, when they move over off the coastline, only about 10% of that moisture is going to fall in the form of precip. And we're looking at increasing that to about 11% because we have about a 10% increase in the natural storm's productivity. So going from 10% to 11% in California has an insignificant impact on the amount of precip that will still be available in Nevada or Utah.
Built into the program are kind of checks to make sure that we don't come across anything negative.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globals have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
I've been down, but not this long.
Welcome back. Third hour of the War Room is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined in studio by the one and only Rex Jones. You can follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z. And, of course, he runs 50%off.com, where you can get a lot of great products. How are you doing today, sir?
Dude, I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me. I wish it wasn't always so heavy when we went on the show. But we're getting into all of it today. You're talking about the cloud seeding. Now we're going to talk about the files.
Yeah, and we were talking about the files a little bit before as well. And actually, I did a whole rundown. I did I did a breakdown of this story on X, and the crew can bring that up because.
But I'm already seeing this. It says something about Mossad. I was told by Ben Shapiro he worked for North Korea.
You're right. Well, that's what this is about because I think we're in this sort of awkward like preteen phase of the conspiracy theory where it's not just fully acknowledged and justified by the mainstream yet, but it's too obvious for them to totally ignore it. So they're having to address it in a way that they're trying to downplay the claims. And it's just, it's fascinating to see the way that they're trying to manipulate these claims. Because the headline is from the Times. So this is the Times of London, right? This is probably the biggest and most, you know, it's like the New York Times and the Times. These are the newspapers of record. And it says, was Epstein a Mossad agent? New files deepen mystery over Israeli links. And so I saw a bunch of people posting this going, oh, the mainstream media is finally getting into it. They're finally asking the questions. No, they're not, folks. This is a cover-up. This whole article is downplaying the claims. It presents the claims, and then it presents the counterclaims. And by the end of it, the point of this article is for the people who read it to be able to go, oh, I heard about those claims. There's nothing to them.
Right, and that's what they're trying to do. They want to memory hole the whole thing. I just saw Ghislaine Maxwell, Ghislaine, whatever you want to call her. I just saw her come out and say, well, you know, I'm ready to testify for full clemency, of course, to wipe away it all. And I'm ready to say that both Trump and Clinton never did anything wrong. And you look at that, you're like, huh. So no one ever got trafficked. Epstein acted alone and didn't even act at all. They want to make it like he's a non-entity. But we have thousands, tens of thousands of emails with redacted names detailing crimes with coded language. And then on top of that, oh, of course, we're going to exonerate both sides and we're just going to go to sleepy time. And hey, war with Iran's about to start. You ready for that?
It was probably Russia. It was probably Russia at the
North
end
Korea.
Of the day. Yeah, it was Russia and North Korea and probably Iran. I'm really surprised they haven't tried to go with Iran or
maybe
Qatar.
Maybe Somalia. Maybe they'll blame Somalia.
Somalia? I mean, I think Qatar. I think if Jeffrey Epstein was a Qatari agent, I mean, I think that really ties it all together.
Laura Loomer would be pretty happy about that.
Absolutely.
Right.
But, I mean, it's like, how ridiculous is this situation? And what is it about America that we are not responding to this?
Right. Well, I think it's perfectly encapsulated by what we saw last night with the Super Bowl, right? Notice you don't even have – it's grown to a point where you have a halftime show and then you have a halftime show for the other half of the country, right? And everyone's like, we're going to watch the big game. I'm going to watch 25 minutes of gameplay crammed into 3.5 hours of ads in a halftime concert. And it's like the American public is so drip-fed dopamine that you watch the fake heroes on the TV. You then go into the halftime show or you go to the other halftime show. Because we don't like those people. Those people are bad. Both sides say the same thing. And it's like the pedophiles that run our government are laughing. Like we're paying taxes to them as we speak. Whenever you make a bet, you know, on, oh, I think Seahawks are going to win. I think Patriots are going to get more than a touchdown. Every time you do that, they're making money off the credit card processing fees. So I would just say like maybe instead of wearing the jerseys of like the Seahawks or the Patriots or any NFL team, maybe they should just wear like the shirt on the front should be the face of their favorite pedophile. And then they can have the name and the age of the children that guy likes on the back.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Right.
We can be rooting for our favorite pedophile.
Well, just be open about it, you know, cause like they love to say this, but it's true. Silence is violence.
Silence is complicity.
Right.
And complicity in all of it. And that's the thing. I'm like arguing with people online right now. Because I feel like people don't understand how to approach this or how to address this.
Right.
When I think the path has been laid out before us with 10 years of hatred against white people and normalizing the way people talk about
right.
white people. You know, there's no white person that will feel offended if you say, I denounce white supremacy.
Right.
But if you say, I denounce Jewish supremacy, everybody calls you an anti-Semite.
Well, let's take it one step further. I mean, it should just be boilerplate, you know, human status that these people need to be publicly hung. Right.
And that's not, start there.
And that's not a crazy thing to say, right? Like I heard, I forget which, it was a congressman. It wasn't a senator. It was a guy kind of allied with Massey making the point of like, hey, like we should hang these people. And I don't think that's an extreme position. I think it's a moderate one. You got people and the whole goal, and this has to be understood, right? Not even necessarily with the racial justice agenda, although it's tied to that in sort of a sick, coalition of, you know, oppressed people's sort of way, but they want to turn the LGBT thing into a pro PDF file thing.
Mm.
That's the goal, right? So people that are in that camp or whatever, you have to be the strongest against this stuff.
Right.
100% because really complicit because that's normalized now. It's like, oh, you know, hey, 5-10 years, oh, this person, you know, he likes people that are, you know, under the age of 10. Right.
Well,
and, oh, it's normal now. You can't be hateful. You can't discriminate. You can't march in the street and ask for those people to be hung, which is what I think should happen.
Right.
That will be discriminatory. So the time is now. And it's like Kurt Metzger, the great comedian. He goes on Jimmy Dore all the time. Phenomenal guy. Really fan of his. Big fan of his. He made the point of, hey, like this is the crossroads. If we sign off on this and if we accept this and if we don't roll tide, like get excited, like as excited as you are about your favorite sports team, about dealing with these people in a very final and legal way, then we're cooked.
Absolutely.
We deserve it.
Absolutely. And I think, I'm not sure if this is who you're talking about, but I did see James Fishback,
right.
governor candidate for Florida. He said that they should be hung and people were saying, you think you're in favor of lynching? Or actually, you know, and he was,
oh, it's so sick.
Yeah. And he was talking about it with Don Lemon, actually.
Right.
He was saying anybody that did this to a church in the past would have been charged, found guilty and hung. And he's like, I'm not calling for lynching because lynching doesn't even mean hanging. It means like extrajudicial killing.
Right.
You know, of any sort.
Well, it's like that lady who went on The View and she's like, when I grew up in Ohio, me and my mama, we'd walk down the street and it had to be a person that was hung and it would be a white person that tried to help a black person, or it would be a black person. The last lynching took place in 1911.
Right.
So it's just like an outright lie. But they want to use these really strong terms that evoke, you know, a sense of anger out of people because people are right. Like people don't want to be oppressed. People want people to be free. People want people to, you know, live in equality and be able to communicate and cooperate with each other. They use your baseline good human emotion. They channel it into something completely negative that makes no sense at all. It's completely alien to the equation. Like, what does it have to do with arresting the PDF files and freeing our country when we just scream slogans at each other left or right?
Right.
It does nothing, right? Like, we should all get on the single issue platform. Hey, we can work out everything else later. And I'm very pro-life. Even abortion. We can work everything else out later because it's all downstream of these monsters.
100%. I could not agree more. So what do we need to do? Like, how do we, because the UK is like collapsing under this, and it's so weird. It's like this bizarro world where we get to look through this magical mirror to see, like, here's what the world looks like if things were normal, you know? But it's in the UK, and it's like covering this. I was saying last week, it's as if I'm covering a UK scandal. This is a US scandal, but the UK seems to be the only ones that are actually responding to it.
Yeah, well, you know, we got that clip of King Charles, if we got that ready.
Yeah, let's
go
to that.
The citizenry, they're still pretty supportive of their leadership. And I'm saying we're real close to this domestically at home. I mean, the leader worship on both sides, I'm telling you, it's got to stop. These people are our servants. They work for us. They are public officials. They're appointed to their jobs to be servants of the public. And they lord over us, ladies and gentlemen. That's all they do. And all we have to do, and you ask about, like, the actionable step, peacefully, nonviolently, and I'm going to start looking into how to do this, the reasoning of why they did it in the first place during the civil rights movement. We need to have peaceful, you know, groups of people, old and young, black, white, straight, gay, I don't care, marching down the street, singing with each other, hang the PDF files. Oh, that's hateful. You can't do that. Oh, are you part of the problem? Do we need to add you to some sort of list? You know, because anyone that hurts the little one, you got to go immediately.
Right.
Right.
I would think that we could agree on that. And, you know, we've seen it again. It's like pathetic that it's come to this, but we've got people sort of holding their own individual protests. We played a video last week of a lady going, I found out where this guy was. He's in the Epstein files. She's like, I went to his university and held a sign for 4 hours just saying this guy needs to go. And finally the president of the university came down and said, listen, we're not going to renew this guy's contract. Don't worry about it.
Well, it's so much like They Live, right? And we always use that example of, like, you put on the glasses and you see everything's propaganda, everything's fake and you know what, right? Yeah. This is a whole new level of that, right? Because you're walking down the street and you're thinking about the government maybe hearing, oh, well, Speaker Johnson is going to pass a new bill or do whatever. And it's like, these people either know about people barbecuing the baby or did it themselves.
Yep.
And it's like they're legitimate somehow. And this is why I, like, here's the thing. I may disagree with Massey on some things. I may disagree with Ro Khanna on some things. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyone who recognizes, even if it's purely out of self-gain, anyone who realizes this is the winning opinion, I'm behind you 100% because we got to do something about these people. And all it would take for the avalanche to start, the small little shockwave that would have to go off, just unredact some of the names. That's all you got to do. It's not that hard. Just remove some of that black.
Yeah.
Right?
And some people have claimed that they are doing that. In fact, this is from Mario Nawfall on X. Epstein sent an email saying, quote, I loved the torture video. The recipient's name was blacked out. So people grabbed the blackout of Peter Mandelson from other redacted emails and put it over this redaction.
Same size.
It fits perfectly pixel for pixel.
Now, who's this individual?
So Peter Mandelson is the guy who was the is in the UK government, and he's the reason that the whole UK government is going down because his relationship with Epstein was revealed.
Oh.
And it caused them to question everything.
How wonderful. You know, a great idea. Maybe, you know, Epstein, this is how fun of a guy Epstein was. Epstein had a trap door in his office that led down to the water, led down to the sharks. Maybe we just do the same thing for all these people. It's very efficient.
Right.
We could even maybe use the same facility. Maybe that would purify it in some sanctifying way.
Yeah, yeah, right here. We will learn Epstein was also a serial killer, in my opinion.
Like, get that up there.
Epstein files show a receipt for 655 gallons of sulfuric acid and a trap door to the sea.
I mean, that's Walter White, Breaking Bad, number one, like I heard you say. And the trap door to the sea, I mean, that's where Mama Tiger Shark is. You know, Mama Tiger Shark knows that the babies come there.
Yep.
And, like, it's sick. And I don't even want to say these things. Like, I was listening to my dad. I was also listening to Owen, and I was listening to them review the files, and you have to turn it off. And it's very rare for me. Like, I watched the Charlie Kirk thing probably 50 times, and it bothered me. It made me mad, but ultimately I was able to, like, analyze it and try. I was looking for info in the video, of course. With this stuff, you have to, like, turn off the radio.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why I've been slacking. I haven't even done a full review of the files because everything I see is so demonic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, you know, I've been getting like 6 hours of sleep. I don't want to get like three.
Right.
You know, I'm looking a little chopped these days.
So, yeah. I mean, the stuff, if you really think about it, it is, haunting, right? It's like, like really sticks with you. Let's go to that video because this is a bit of a mixed bag here, I guess you could say, because it's protesters yelling at the King of England. But then other people defending him, right?
It's one guy. One lone brave man. And shout out to whoever he is. He's an info warrior. He's a patriot. He's a global hero. I won't even say American. Like, we should all embody the bravery of this guy because it's a lot harder for him to do it there than it is for us to do it here. And we're not even doing it here. It's one guy and Prince Charles or King Charles or whatever. Charles, he ain't no king. He's a B word. We'll just leave it at that because we're on radio and TV right now.
Yes, sir.
But he's lording over the people, you know. Kiss my hand, you know. God save the king. God bless the king. The British. And then like the fat women and the men are all crowded around him looking for, you know, approval or to kiss the ring of the king. And it's just one guy calling him out and they immediately go, shut up.
All right, let's watch. I want to watch. I haven't seen this here. So here is some dude named Charles being heckled by a true hero. Let's watch.
Charles, how long have you known about Andrew and Esther?
Look at the sheep.
Wow.
He's begging for death, loving it, worshiping it every 5 seconds. Like, yes, maybe take me to the island. No. Maybe flay me alive.
And this is a man who has been alive and reigned, at least for a short time, over the complete dispossession and destruction of his own people. And they are
100%
eager to be blessed by a touch from him. It really is sick.
Can we get the portrait up? Can we get that nice little friendly red portrait of his?
Oh, the red portrait that he,
Can we pull that up real quick? Because I want the audience to understand how loving and peaceful and just gentle of a soul this guy is. He's just a happy old man who, you know, controls your entire country if you're a UK person. They say, it's all symbolic, the monarchy, this, that, or thing.
It's not.
You look at it, my dad talks about it all the time, you talk about it all the time. The EU Commission, they're all royalty.
Yeah.
They have kings.
And I'll be reading articles about the, here's the revelation of his, of his creepy ass portrait.
Look at that.
Where he just looks, just looks like a straight up demon. It's crazy.
And if you cut it into fourths, there's a goat face that appears.
Right.
Baphomet. It's unbelievable, man. And this guy, of course, I believe his son, the Prince Andrew.
Yep.
Notorious diddler, always on the island. I think he's on record, at least allegedly having, you know, raped and murdered and done stuff like that. It's allegedly. We can't say anything as fact. And ain't that sad, folks? Because if the names were unredacted, we could.
Yep.
Guaranteed.
No, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. And the thing is, I'll be reading an article about the UK and it's like, this party said this and this leader said this and there's this, and it goes on and on. I read like 10 paragraphs and then the last paragraph says, then the Queen decided this would happen. So that's what happened. And it's like, wait, what? So all of that was nothing. It was actually just the Queen's decision and she made the decision by herself on her own and decided this. So like they pretend that the Queen doesn't have any, and this is, somebody said this to me once and it stuck with me the whole time. The Queen of England, who died recently, her real power, her real skill was acting like she was giving up her power, acting like she was just a figurehead while not giving up an ounce of real power. She did not actually limit the power of the royalty at all.
And that's really smart. You know, someone will have a lot of assets and have to pay a lot of taxes and do stuff like that. Hey, it's just a business now, you know, and the business owns it all. I don't own anything, but they run it all.
Yep.
And that's how all high-level people operate, whether it's on a small scale, just someone running a business, or, you know, someone running the demon pedophile organization.
Right. And, of course, you know, England has been a headquarters of this for a very long time. It's not a coincidence that they are tied into all of this so, succinctly or so directly.
The sun never set on the British Empire because even God wouldn't turn his back on an Englishman.
Mm. And this was I remember this. This was a creepy thing where it was like DNA, but then a third strand in the double helix. So it's this like creepy next level human thing where
I mean, think about it. They live in these giant castles. They're in love with being alive forever and ruling the world and being a part of the elite class. Ultimately, I know it's not here. I know it's not America, but J.D. Vance goes over there and lectures him and says, you need to not restrict speech, blah, 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 blah. We got cops showing up at people's houses in Florida, man.
Yep.
About like harmless, like a libtard makes a post and it's too much. We're very close to this. And that's why, me personally, that's why I don't engage in all the Trump worship. That's why I don't, because it creeps me out, man. We shouldn't have a ruler like that, in my opinion, because they get to get away with too much because the public is trained to love them.
Yeah. And it sucks because, in reality, a real class of aristocracy who actually had the noblesse oblige and actually understood that it was a two-way street and that actually they were empowered with all this stuff,
right,
specifically and exclusively for the protection of their own people – then that would actually be a great way to stop some of the, you know, democratization that has, you know, destroyed things where basically you just have the TV is in charge and everybody believes the TV, so they all vote for the same thing. Theoretically, you know, having a class of people that their position is unquestionable. You know, it's like, it's why the Supreme Court gets lifetime appointments in America. It's because we don't want people having to fight for that job. They're there. Good they're point. In it. Nothing they do can get them out unless it's really egregious. It's actually a really, it was for a long time, a really successful way to help the people underneath the royalty, but it all went off the rails at some point, it seems.
Yeah. You know, I just, let's leave these old systems behind. Let's get rid of the people that, you know, are implicated in any which way. And it's both sides. It's left and right. You know, I'm very critical of Trump, right? And I believe he's implicated in the files. But when you look at the left and you look at the media coverage of what's been going on, the only two names you're going to see are Howard Lutnick and Donald Trump.
Right.
And it's Democrats and Republicans. All of them have to go. They're all implicated in all of this stuff. So I think that's a very key message, because a lot of times I get people are critical of me because, like, I'm too black-pilled or whatever. I don't support the current administration. Maybe there's some truth to that, right? I think there is. But at the same time, there's an operation being run where in the controlled collapse, they always set up one side to rise and then fall. Like, Obama gets in, people are disappointed in Obama. Trump gets in, people are disappointed in Trump. Biden gets in, people are disappointed. Blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on and on. And this is going to be turned into a thing of like, okay, we're just going to slit the throat metaphysically of the Republican Party. And then it's Democrat time, because Democrats are great and they're exposing the files now. Aren't they based? Aren't they cool? No.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. It's not so simple as a two-team sport. It's a bunch of different power interests and factions that are all in little networks and nodes. And that's how they interact with each other. That's how it works in media, politics, everything. Right. And until we address the root of the problem, which is this is a network of satanic baby eaters.
Yep.
Nothing will change.
So what do you think about Trump? I mean, what do you think? My impression has been that it's Howard Lutnick and Susie Wiles and the people around him.
Right.
He hasn't seen the files at all. He has no idea what's in the files. All they're telling him is this is an attempt to get you, and any attention you pay to it is just feeding the fire. So just, it's all about you, and they're trying to get you and ignore the rest of it. When really, if you look, it's like, dude, your second in command is freaking betraying you and is on their team. But they're keeping that information from him. What do you think about that?
You know, I just don't know. I just don't know. I think he's implicated somehow. That's my opinion. I know that's not shared by a lot of people in this building, but that is my view. Ultimately, all these people know each other too well. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing you got to look at is, like, I can remember off the top of my head, probably, like, you know, five or six people I've been really close with, you know, over the past like 7 or 8 years, right? And you think about the socialites, and you think about the way they all interact. And it's true, like, yeah, you bump into people, you go to parties, this, that, the other thing. It was a very small niche elite community. And the thing that Epstein did that's so terrifying is, it's like my dad talked about, it's the real satanic stuff. It's the gene editing. It's figuring out, you know, how to make a little one do things more. And we won't even get into it, because it makes me want to puke to even think about it. I have three younger sisters. It's so gross. But Epstein was tapped in with the power structure, not just political, not just money, but also high education, right? So all these people, they run together because someone that's rich wants to meet someone that's famous. Someone that's famous wants to meet someone that's smart. It's kind of a rock, paper, scissors game.
Right.
It goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it just say, oh, well, I knew it is. I went on the plane one time. It is what it is. I never went to Island, blah, blah, blah. I just don't believe any of it anymore, because if you didn't, then unredact the names of everyone else and be the greatest hero ever in American society.
Exactly.
Bigger than George Washington.
Exactly.
Bigger than Abraham Lincoln. This is bigger than the Civil War, because ultimately we survived the Civil War. We won't survive this.
Well, and think about this. Again, just the comparison to the UK from Gateway Pundit. Now, there was like one or two people in the UK government that were shown to be associates with Jeffrey Epstein. And, you know, really, it's just their association that's been the scandal. But when you get into the details, it's right. Like he was sharing them sort of classified information and helping give information that was classified and you know, cheat the market that way.
Right.
But in response to that, quote, British government is crumbling after Chief of Staff McSweeney, now Director of Communications Allen, also quits, upping pressure on failing Prime Minister Keir Starmer to resign. So this Mandelson guy has resigned. The Prince Andrew has been kicked out of his home. Starmer's about to collapse. All of the people around him are resigning. And it's like, where is this in America? What the hell is going on that the UK is responding appropriately to this?
Dude, I was thinking about putting a bet in on Keir. I bet he's gone by the end of next month.
Yeah.
I think there's some plus side money there. I mean, it's time, you know, a Keir Starmer, queer farmer, whatever you want to call him. You know, he's not a friend of the show. I was about to say that.
No, not a friend of the show.
Not a friend
a
of the
regular
show.
Feature on the
we,
show.
We,
yes.
We hope he's gone because you gotta remember it all goes together, right? The murder of people in foreign wars and the genociding of ethnic groups, the abortion and the mass slaughter of children, the forced migration, the replacement of native populations. It's all downstream of being a PDF file, because ultimately what is being a PDF file mean? It's the ultimate form of dehumanization where you go, that thing's not a person. That thing's not worth anything. I'm better than that thing. So I can just do whatever I want to it. Where a normal person with a soul goes, that's another me.
Yep.
Because you're supposed to see Christ, but you're also supposed to see yourself in literally every single person that you look at. So all of these societal problems with the murder and the death and all the things that Keir Starmer is also responsible for or implicated in or knows about, it's all going to come out and they're going to get rid of this guy. I wonder when it'll be, how it will take place. I'd bet money on it. Keir Starmer out by next month.
Good riddance. We'll be right back.
There's a popular online meme. Alex Jones was right. Well, I'm not always right, but I'm right about 98% of the time, and I strive to be right. And not just with the news and information we cover and my predictions, but with the products we bring you. And all the products at thealexjonesstore.com are amazing. But the most powerful, the one that 99% of people have basically instant results with, I bet like 3 people out of 500 I've given to that didn't feel anything, is our Ultra Methylene Blue, made in Florida and 10 times stronger, incredible energy, 99% of people within 30 minutes, feel the energy, no letdown, and it's so good for your cells. Again, it would take hours to get into all the things it does for your body. Ladies and gentlemen, it's available right now, back in stock. Get yours, and it keeps this broadcast and what we do on the air, so it's a 360 win. If you don't get our Ultra Methylene Blue, you're really missing out, and it really is better than any methylene blue I've ever taken. Believe me, you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com and get our Ultra Methylene Blue. It is simply insane.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on Methylene Blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things, and their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans, and we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP. And it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have 2 hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stop drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby. I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in. And they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's the new Patriot Silver Folding Knife from thealexjonesstore.com. Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room final segment with Rex Jones in studio. Follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z. 50%off.com.
Can I go ahead and do a little something real quick?
Before we forget, I know you want to do this. Go ahead.
Yeah, could we pull up the Ghost Room Force Instagram real quick? If anyone can do that, I'd really appreciate it. So we're doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. I've started a new functional mushroom company where you can get the highest dose functional mushrooms basically on Earth for the best price on Earth as well. So just want a little plug for myself. We don't have it ready.
So what's okay. What's it called again?
Here. It's okay. Let's just go into the news.
No. The crew is supposed to bring this up. There it is.
Yeah,
Go Shroom Force.
Yes, if you can go ahead and get me to 100 followers, if 100 of you guys listening right now, just go and follow me right now on Instagram. That would be the coolest thing ever. If you go to shroomforce.com, you can sign up for additional discounts when we launch. This is going to be a really, really cool thing. Okay, just wanted to make people aware of it.
So you haven't started selling yet, but you're building up the anticipation.
We're launching tomorrow.
Oh.
You're going to want to stay ready and stay anticipated. I mean, lion's mane mushroom, 600 milligrams in a capsule, 60 capsules in a packet, available for under $30. That's the dose that's actually used in a study. And that's the thing, right? I've always been proud of the products that we had on InfoWars Store, now the Alex Jones Store, because you look at it and they're actual efficacious doses of the things used, right? When someone does a Shilajit study, or when someone does methylene blue study, or when someone does any one of these things for any one of the products, we match that dose and we formulate it for you and we present it for you. That's my supplement philosophy. And if you go to GoShroomForce.com and you just make the decision to either sign up and subscribe, or you make the decision to just follow us on Instagram, which really is easy, it would be amazing. I would appreciate it, and it's going to be really cool. That was probably the worst plug I've ever done in my entire life. Wow, that was bad. But if you go to Go Shroom Force on Instagram, or you go to shroomforce.com and either sign up on the email list, or you just give us a follow on Instagram, I'd really appreciate it.
Well,
that's all I got. Thank you, Harrison. That was horrible. I just bombed the show.
No. That was great. I mean, obviously, mushrooms are like a very big supplement thing that's come up over the last few years.
It's the biggest growing sector in the supplement industry, and that's because people know it works. Whether it's mushroom coffee or mushroom supplementation, a lot of these products, they try to be all in one, and they have like 100 milligrams here, 200 milligrams there. These are the highest dose products on the market, literally at an unbeatable price. If you find a better price, I'll lower mine.
I've had some really delicious mushroom tea. That was really good. Or coffee, I guess.
Oh, dude, and my manufacturer, like my partner in all of this, we actually grow edible mushrooms.
Oh.
We sell them to restaurants as well.
Oh, nice.
So I've gotten really big into all the mycology stuff. It's very cool.
You're a fungi now.
Yeah. Fungus.
fungi guy. So on Instagram, Go Shroom Force or shroomforce.com. That's S-H-R-O-O-M force.com. Very exciting stuff. You launch tomorrow. Let's get those,
yes.
We want to get triple digit followers today. I know there's 100 people with Instagram listening to my voice right now. It's actually hundreds of thousands. So go now.
You won't be disappointed. And look at this. This is a true professional. Okay. Cause I come in here with my polo shirt and I'm kind of bumbling around, falling around the studio. My dog's in here on the break trying to tear up the mics and stuff. And Harrison just sits here and he's dialed in. This is a blue chip prospect. Blue chip. I'm telling you. But go ahead. Let's get into the news.
Let's get into the news. We actually have some breaking news here. The crew informed me that there has been an announcement made by Thomas Massey and Ro Khanna. Now these were two of the people, and
they're based,
the most prominent based people who were actually given unrestricted access to the unredacted files, Epstein files today. So this was their first public statement since seeing all of the stuff we've been speculating about. They got to see the files with no black boxes, no redactions. Let's see what they have to say. Let's watch.
How much new information then did you see that was unredacted, or did it look pretty similar to what we've seen publicly?
I mean, what we're after is the men who Jeffrey Epstein trafficked women to. We want those names published. We're not out to embarrass people. And the problem is we went in there hoping to see that in 302 forms. What we found out is those 302 forms were redacted before they got to the DOJ.
Who does that?
Legislation directs the FBI, who which is the agency that produced those 302 forms, to also produce these documents. The Attorney General is ultimately responsible for that production, so that's why we're here at the DOJ to view these files. But there needs to be more information given in those 302s. So I was disappointed we didn't find that. But it's also clear, just sort of as a check, checking their homework, that they need to do a little more homework. There are six men. We went in there for 2 hours. There's millions of files, right? And in a couple of hours, we found six men whose names have been redacted who are implicated in the way that the files are presented. And finally, the documents that they put up and decided for one reason or another they had to take back down. I was hoping to see those here. They didn't appear to be in the database that we were able to search. Those ostensibly are wholly redacted files now. We know they exist. They published them for a brief period of time and pulled them back. They need to answer to us as to do they intend to redact those files and put them back up and put them in the database so that we can search them and see if it was appropriate to take them back down from the website.
Are these men U.S. citizens? What fields do they work in? Are these finance? Is it political?
At least one is a U.S. citizen. At least one is a foreigner. And the other three or four have names. I'm not sure if they're foreigner U.S.
And which field do they work in? Is it finance, banking, political?
One is pretty high up in a foreign government.
And some are, they're, one of the others is a pretty prominent, individual. But I think that the point is that these six are just what we found in 2 hours of a review of the files that aren't redacted. The broader issue is why so many of the files they're getting are redacted in the first place. And, until that becomes unredacted, the main things that they're sending to the career attorneys to review, I don't think we're going to have full compliance with the law, get to the question that most Americans want to know. Who were the rich and powerful people who went to this island? Did they rape underage girls? Did they know that underage girls were being paraded around? And after seeing this, I don't blame the U.S. attorneys, the assistant U.S. attorneys reviewing it. If they're reviewing redacted material, what are they supposed to do? But they're getting, it seems like, material that's already been redacted.
Wow. Okay. A lot of information there. Well, what's your first takeaway?
Well, last I checked, conspiracy regarding any kind of crime is almost worse than the crime itself. If charging, or at least you get charged the same, you know, if you help plan a bank robbery and the other people do it, you're just as guilty as they are. How does that work for the government? Exactly. When the government engages in criminal conspiracy, it's not a conspiracy theory, CIA, it was blah, blah, blah. It's a literal conspiracy. Like, a conspiracy is a real thing, right? It's so real, it's in the criminal code. How does it work when the government engages in such a thing? Openly. This is openly aiding and abetting PDF files.
Yeah, that's a good, it's a great question. So just to recap what they said, they were looking for 302 forms, which are the forms that the FBI will make after they interview somebody. It's basically the report, and sometimes they'll record and do a 302, or sometimes it'll just be the 302 that says, I'm agent this, I met with this person on this day at this place, here's what we discussed, here's what they said.
Right.
So he was saying he's looking forward to looking at the raw 302 information unredacted, but that was unavailable. It was actually redacted in the supposedly unredacted files because apparently they were given over to the Department of Justice from the FBI already redacted. Okay, so that's very interesting and disturbing. So
yeah, the black files, the ones that are completely redacted, where there's no information, and they're like, hey, this exists, and it has everything you've ever wanted to know on it ever, and you don't get to have it.
And it's totally redacted. Now, he said they spent 2 hours looking at it. Apparently, you know, they were able to look at what we've seen,
right?
But without the redactions, except for the ones that have been put up and then withdrawn down. Those should not have been excluded, obviously. That would be a crime, I would think. And, you know, when we first started talking about this and when they first passed the bill that said they had to release the Epstein files, you know, it was my point that this is a pitched battle between the republic and the bureaucracy, the representation and the, you know, function of government, right? Because it was something that, like, everybody wanted. The representatives voted for it, and so it became a question of, do we as voters still have any say in our government?
No,
our will be ignored?
You don't. It might as well be you wake up on election day and you pour yourself a big bowl of Lucky Charms, and instead of milk for the liquid, you use Jack Daniels. I think that is a better use of your time at this point, because it's just, you can't vote against it. Either way you go.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Yeah. I know people that black pill doomer. I'm like, whatever. I mean, we're paying taxes to these people.
Well, and it's, but you know, the fact that we got any files is sort of means that there's still
good.
Some semblance of representation and,
well,
and
I mean,
the will of the people
coming forth. I would say they have to pay lip service. You know, yeah. like the public knows that it exists. The public, you know, especially women, they love true crime. They love all this type of stuff. This is the ultimate true crime story. So you've got normies. Ultimately, that's why Candace Owens has been so successful with her soap opera, right? Because it's targeting the people that just found out about all this stuff 5 minutes ago. And it's that classic example of my dad dealing with Eddie Bravo on Rogan. He's like, I understand you a lot more than someone that's just totally asleep, right? Mm. Because when you're awake and you're like, we're in the Matrix. They're harvesting our energy. I'm in the pod. I have to wake up and go to Morpheus now. That's too much to handle. It's not fair. None of this is right. Our government has aggrieved us on multiple levels. This is just one of them.
Absolutely. And if the crew can bring up that tweet, that was Massey hinting at who it was he saw. So they said in the 2 hours they found six men who'd been implicated and not charged. And he says, this is a well-known retired CEO. DOJ should unredact this. Why did they redact it?
I mean, it literally says co-conspirator. So, yep. he didn't traffic anybody. All right. So this is the land. He didn't traffic anybody, but we got co-conspirators.
Right. Well, I mean, the classic absurdity is the fact that they were charged for trafficking, but
right.
They never said who they trafficked them to. How do you traffic somebody without a buyer at the end of it?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. Okay. So they said that one man was American. One man was foreign. The four other men that they noticed, they didn't know if they were foreign or American. And they said that one person who I assume they're saying is that foreigner they identified was high up in a foreign government. Any guesses?
A little place in the Middle East, probably. You know, a little happy place in the Middle East where they never have any
Jordan.
Problems.
It was probably Jordan or Lebanon.
Egypt, I say.
Egypt. It had to have been Egypt.
Those damn North Koreans. Those pesky North Koreans. They're always involved in everything, aren't they? Oh, but it's always Russia's fault as well. We can't forget that.
A Sultan seems to have sent this. DOJ should make it public. I'm in China.
They even have Sultans now? This is still real? We got Sultans?
So that's interesting. So this is the one that they're saying, where are you? Are you okay? I love the torture video.
That's on brand for the Dubai people. They love to, you know, fly a girl out and then doo-doo on her.
Right. Well,
very popular.
And then this person says, I'm in China. I'll be in the U.S. second week of May. So people looked at that and checked the travel dates of well-known people. And I believe first I saw that Hillary Clinton was apparently in China at this time. But the fact that they say I'll be in the U.S. in early May or whatever they say, that to me says that they're not from the U.S., right? They said I'll be back in the U.S. at this
right.
date. But he's saying, no, I will be in the U.S. for this date to this date. That makes me think it's a foreigner. Somebody else apparently and allegedly you know, we checked it with the travel plans of Benjamin Netanyahu and that he apparently also fits that. He was in China then was in America on the exact date that it said. But then Thomas Massey says that that person is a Sultan. Mm. So that would not be the same as Benjamin Netanyahu, although it could have been.
Isn't it interesting? Like, you know, a normal company or some medium sized company will have a team building retreat. You know, for the middle or upper management, you mm-hmm. go, you play tug of war or like do paintings or something or do trust falls. Ultimately, the highest level of that, if you're an elite in governance, wherever you are around the world, apparently the team building retreat is at the island and the team building exercise is filleting somebody.
Yeah, apparently so. And again, you know, I've been saying for a while, like if you knew about Bohemian Grove, none of this should really be that much of a
right.
surprise,
they
right?
They pray to a giant effigy of Moloch and
human
they burn
sacrifice.
An effigy of the child in front of it. I mean, it's been known for 20 years. And I think the collective consciousness of the American public is there for this, and that's why we have to seize on this opportunity. I don't think people will let this go. I have enough faith in the country because it's universal, man. Everyone's got family. Everyone's got kids. We want these people to breathe. Our people to breathe instead of the PDF files that have, you know, stopped the little ones from breathing. I mean, they have a shark pit. Epstein had a shark pit. He had a trap door where they fed the tiger shark. The bodies. And everything's redacted. There's co-conspirators, but he never trafficked anybody. It's too much. I can't. And you talk about the beef jerky. You talk about the cheese holders. Oh, I forgot the cheese holder. Talking about, being able to imprison a little one.
Yeah.
And it's so sick. Twilight Zone.
It's beyond sick. So, Maybe I kind of want to switch up a little bit here because
sure.
But this is all tied in together.
It's all one thing.
Right. And this in particular, the strategy being used right now to divide and conquer us,
Right.
Specifically when it comes to the Republican Party, there's a dichotomy that I'm seeing be established, a false dichotomy that I'm seeing established,
mm-hmm.
that is basically saying you are either with Israel 100% or you're a leftist, Islamist, you know, progressive. And
yes,
I mean, I know a lot of people are going, well, yeah, obviously people are saying that. But clearly this has been like told from on high. I almost wanted to replay the Dan Bongino clip that we played on Friday because he has clearly been read into this and he's not subtle enough to like cover up what he's doing. And so here's its likely. It doesn't have a ritual sacrifice. No.
Social media users speculated that the door.
It was for swimming.
F you, Snopes. Speculated that the door was used for nefarious purposes related to unproven. I mean, Spirit Cooking, Marina Abramovich, Huma Abedin, all these. This Bohemian Grove, like you talk about. The emails, they're out there. They're open. They're not talking about grape soda. Not talking about walnuts. Talking about little kids and little black kids and what they're going to do to them. It's sick. Like, we know what a lot of this coded language means already, but the normies will go, oh, I go to Snopes on my phone and you tell me truth.
Yep.
And we got to break that spirit in the country. We really got to do it. And Bongino, you talk about him. What causes near and dear to your heart, that classic clip? And he goes, Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Israel. And it's the same thing of Epstein. It's like, have you seen the file? Did he kill himself? He goes, I've seen the file.
He killed himself.
Right. Right,
and there's nothing more to look into, which, like,
nothing
again,
to see here.
Even from what we have already, it's like you were lying, dude, but he's still sticking with it.
And with what you talked about,
yeah.
What you talked about the splitting of the Republican Party, you're either pro-Israel, Zionist is a good thing, or you're, you know, evil leftist, libtard, whatever, that's the greatest gift to the Democrats ever, because all of the independents, all the young people that got onto the Trump platform based on pro-economy, pro-peace through strength, actual peace through strength, meaning ending the damn wars and exposing these people, getting the Epstein file out there, all three things, which I view, in my view, a lot of Americans view as he's failed on. This is a gift to the Democrats because those people are just going to go over to them because, sadly, people are not politically informed enough to reject the system or to build a new party. They're just going to go wherever the wind blows. And that's why with the historically high unapproval rating on both parties, we've really got to push for something different. It's enough already.
Yeah. And it, again, it's a false dichotomy. And I think Candace Owens is playing right into this too.
Oh, she's having fun with it, man. She's doing tricks on it.
Because it's the same type of thing where if you go, hey, you know, Candace Owens is wrong about this thing. They go, oh, so you are pro Israel now,
right.
Huh? So now you're happy that they're killing Palestinians. And it's like, what the hell are you
talking
about?
That's why my show is called The Gray Area, man. The show I do with Tim Tompkins, a phenomenal show. If you want to pull up the X for it. I mean, this is what we talk about is we're post duopoly, man. And like, that's what I grew up with here. And we got on the Trump train because he said all the right stuff and promised all the right stuff. But ultimately, are we loyal to Trump or are we loyal to America?
Right. And Trump broke the mold. I mean, the reason Trump was awesome was because he destroyed the Bushes and the Clintons and he took them over. But now he's allowed his movement to be co-opted by the neocons with the help of Israel, who have decided that this is the dividing line. You're either with us or against us, which is especially absurd because we hear from Israelis like Benjamin Netanyahu and others that Europeans have anti-Semitism in their DNA, yet they're trying to define the West as being Judeo-Christian,
right.
as opposed to the liberal, progressive, Islamist type people. But it's like, okay, how did the West create a culture that is defined entirely by love of the Jews if they're also have anti-Semitism in their DNA?
It's all the end of history stuff. It's all the we write the textbooks so we can tell you the truth. Here's the thing. America's a very young country, and the reason why it's so easy for people to pull on our heartstrings and do this, that, the other thing is they go, look, there was a time where it was better, and it can be better again if you just vote for us. And that's the MAGA message, but it's also, you know, just the message of both political parties at large. And ultimately, we have to look at it and say, hey, things may be – maybe they've never been as good as we want them to be. Maybe we've always had problems. But just because we've always had problems doesn't mean we can just aspire to like have a small change for the better. We should be 500% better, 5,000% better. These things are very basic. If we had taken the $600 billion instead of giving it to Ukraine or Israel, if we'd spent it at home, I think we'd be a lot better off than we are now. Even if we just wasted it and gave it to, you know, fat people on EBT, whatever, I think that would be more of a net positive. You know, if we had more fat Americans waddling around, but millions of people were alive around the globe that aren't alive right now and other countries willing to work with us, maybe that would be better, right? So I try to aspire to grand political change instead of, you know, working with these systems because these systems are broken.
And see, that's the issue is that the right wing is hungry for this monumental, like, groundswell change to take place.
Right.
But it's weird because we really just want to go back to what we were before. So it's weird that we want like a revolution to get back to what we were. But the only people actually offering revolutionary change are the socialists and the communists, who always do this. They point, just like in 1917, they point to the czar and go, look how bad it is under him.
We're going to fix it.
Don't you want us? Yeah. And then you get the Gulag Archipelago.
They kill everybody.
So yeah, not America's obviously not 100% perfect, but you don't go to communism for that. We need a monumental wholesale change in the way things are operating, but nobody on the right seems even capable of elucidating what that would look like for us. It's always the left, you know, pushing that idea. So how do we champion this monumental, universal, like massive change?
I think it's about coming together, and that's why I really like this Epstein issue, because it's something everyone can agree on. I think everyone can also agree on, hey, like, we're radically pro-life over here. We believe life begins at conception. We're anti-abortion. I consider it to be murder. A lot of the reason why America suffered so much is because over 60 million little ones have been flushed on the toilet, and we consider that not to be life, right? But if you're pro-life, I'm also pro-people getting health care. You say, I don't want government giving me health care. You think I need government to take care of me? I'm a tough man. It's like, okay, you're a trained slave. You've been trained to accept endless military spending and endless foreign conflicts in exchange, you know, for a few goodies. If the Europeans can have it, why can't we? And why can't this be, you know, a right-wing or a centrist platform? Because you marry them together, it makes sense. Hey, you want people to have kids? Make it affordable to have a kid.
Yep.
You want to be ideologically consistent? I'm right with you. You want to end the PDF files? I'm right there with you. You want to end the wars? I'm right there with you. That's literally the political platform. And you look at these people, whether it's a congressman, whether it's a senator, whether it's someone in the executive branch, it's like, we're on the team and we're winning. And look, we just owned XYZ and we got a bill passed that banned a single food dye and we're killing it. We're doing blah, blah, blah. You know what we want you to do. You ran on what we wanted you to do. If Trump did what he promised to do, he would have been the greatest president in this term, or had the greatest term ever. That can't be said. You got to be honest.
Yep.
That's my view. I'm a radical centrist. And what centrist means to me is not, I'm in the middle. I have this opinion because it's nice. I take opinions from the right. I take opinions from the left. And I just take what's good and I leave out what's bad. And that's what America needs to be going forward. Leave it all behind. You're not a donkey. You're not an elephant. You're a freaking human being made in the image of God. You have to value that.
And listen, there's something incredibly absurd about the fact that when the president of the United States gives the State of the Union, half of the congressmen and senators either don't show up or refuse to stand
down, yeah,
and just or want to shout out and ruin it. Meanwhile, Benjamin Netanyahu comes in, standing ovations, both parties the whole time.
It's unacceptable. Like,
that should be the American president. The American president should have the full, you know, support of all the congressmen and senators.
You see who's really in charge.
The thing. And it's like, but can we not have that here? Can we not all agree, hey, we got all these differences, but like, we agree on this. America is good.
We're not asking for a lot. We're not asking for a lot at all. This is very basic. Just do what you said you were going to do. That's why you're popular, Trump, is because you have that ethos. The tough guy image doesn't come from you owning a skyscraper. The tough guy image comes from you almost getting killed by that bullet. Yep. That's where the tough guy image comes from. The tough guy image comes from you defeating Hillary Clinton because you said you put her in jail. And, oh, she's walking around right now. She might expose everything.
Yep.
Bill Clinton's like, I've done a lot of bad stuff in my life. I barbecued a few babies, but if it means we can stop this all, heal the country, you know, I might burn in hell, but you know, maybe others won't. And then you'd be like, that's the American hero. I mean, come right. on, Bill. It's like, someone's got to fall on the sword, but we got to support him. You know,
you got to
die. You're evil. You're the enemy, but at least you admit it. At least you're like, yeah, I went to the freaking island, man. And all these other people did too, we would build a statue of that person.
Dude.
Will we not?
That's actually making a lot of sense, because I've been wondering what the Clinton play is here, because they're like, oh, we want to testify and we want it to be public. They might be actually trying to go, hey.
Ain't that ironic?
Oh my God. They're going to actually present themselves as the champions against Trump, who's trying to
come
out.
I'm going to come out here and tell the truth. I like my Bill Clinton. I think my Bill Clinton's
that's
pretty
very good.
Good.
Yeah. That's I haven't been brave enough to try that on the show yet. Rex, thank you so much for being here with us, folks. You got to follow Rex at Rex Jones News with a Z. Follow Shroom Force. Go to shroomforce.com.
Shroomforce.com. Go Shroom Force on Instagram. If we can get to 100 on Shroom Force, I'll be like, I'm already eternally grateful if just one person goes there. Please help a brother out. Help a brother out. I'm a little hood. Help a brother out.
Hey, and don't forget, folks, go to thealexjonesstore.com. The ultimate gut and brain bundle is bovine colostrum plus, methylene blue, and methylene red. All together, you get them for 50% off. Just massive discounts right now. Get thealexjonesstore.com. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
And on video.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at thealexjonesstore.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high-quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it, so people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly, four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it, these sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. It's a nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. Yes, those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.